B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block! Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
No, they lost. It was horrible. Good morning, everybody. Happy, happy, happy Wednesday to all across the Delaware Valley. Cuz Radio with Chunis.
Happy training camp. Yes, the start of training camp today.
Oh, this brings me back.
Camp.
The only thing missing is Lehigh. I got to tell you. I still miss Lehigh after all these years that they that creep Chip Kelly started it all by doing it at the NovaCare facility. I don't understand why. I know a lot of teams are doing it. They don't like to go away. I don't know what it was, man. That whole thing, it's training camp, bonding. Dudes would come in. They'd have their mattresses. They would have the TVs. Hollis Thomas would have a box of porno mags, which is true. I mean, it was the greatest. It was like, you know, camp. Like, let's go to work. It was football. And today's the start of training camp. And I'm excited for it. I just want to think about football. It's our way. Now, I know it grows old quickly, and you can't wait for the season. But there's something about training camp that is just special. And it's got roots here, right? And I go back to all those days at Lehigh and when T.O. came in. And I'll never forget that great story, man. It was the first. We couldn't wait because they get Owens and they get the freak. Wow, dude. It was unbelievable. 2004, and there it was, T-O-T-O-T-O-T-O, and we were up in that mountain town of Lehigh, and traffic was snarled. Andy Reid was like, what the, he couldn't get in. I was supposed to do a show that day, right, live from Lehigh. Me and Steve Martorano were going to do a show, and we couldn't get there. We actually had to come back to the studio because there was no way the equipment didn't arrive. That was it, too. And like it was insane. Gridlock Lehigh. And Andy was late. I mean, it was an amazing story. Like, people loved it. It was a rite of passage. A rite of passage training camp. Whether it was in Westchester or Lehigh, and people would go there for their vacations and take the kids. The kids would be signing, they'd be signing footballs for the kids. Ah, man, that was some great times. Great times. We'll talk about this Eagles team a lot. All the questions, we'll look at it. Again, I feel liberated. I feel like it's a clean slate, and I got no judgment. I look at Nick Sirianni. We talked about it yesterday. The piece that our friend in The Athletic, Zach Berman, and what Zach wrote about Nick going to his hometown of Jamestown, New York, in upstate New York. It was a great piece. And I got to tell you, I feel like that. It's that, you know, that little kids game? I used to have it, the Etch-a-Sketch, where I used to have it for the boys. And you could draw on it. And then you just shake it, and it all disappears. That's what I've done with the Eagles. I have zero expectations and zero judgment. It's completely clean. It's one big whiteboard. And I have no, I'm not even going to make any proclamations. Everybody gets a clean slate. Like, I've heard a lot of Jalen Hurts is going to be great. And quite frankly, my initial reaction is to blanch at it. Because they go, well, wait a second. Because people like to use the Oklahoma-Alabama thing, which is kind of incorrect. Like, if Jalen Hurts is a good quality starting quarterback, it still doesn't mean because he played well at Oklahoma and Alabama. Like, you're getting to the right answer, but with the wrong way, the wrong equation. You know, again, you can't do that. That doesn't tell you anything, you know, because he played well in the Big 12. Now, if you tell me he's got all the intangibles that will overcome his lack of physicality, all right. And so I look at it like this. You know what? If you feel like he's going to lead the Birds and be the franchise quarterback, you know what? I gave you this. Hope you're right, baby. I hope you're right. I hope he is. I'm rooting like hell for him. He's a great kid, and I want him to be. So I got zero. Again, big whiteboard. No judgments. I got no thoughts whatsoever other than I'm going to let it wash over me. And let me tell you, it's liberating. Everybody gets a clean slate. Howie's a clean slate. Jeffrey's a clean slate. Everybody. That's where I'm at. Completely judgment-free, free of any expectations. It's liberating. E-A-G-L-E-S, my friends. E-A-G-L-E-S. Good morning, Junis.
What's up? So, I'm with you in terms of on the field. I can't go clean slate front office.
I'm going everybody.
Okay, I can't go clean slate for
him. Whatever, it's fine.
Because if Jalen Hurts is awful and Carson Wentz has a great season in Indianapolis, I'll go, hey, look, you guys screwed it up.
Yeah, well.
I can't go clean slate.
Okay, so to me, that will be data for the whiteboard.
Okay.
Right now, there's no data. Right now, you can't say anything.
I still look at this front office suspect. I do.
Well, listen.
I'll say Howie's had actually a pretty decent offseason bringing in some veteran player. Now I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt there.
So here's the thing I look at it, right? Listen, the draft's a draft. I agree. The previous, not this draft class, the previous two drafts were bad. All right? They were. I agree. But I like this draft class. I like what he did free agency. The guy did win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
So, like, to me, all that equals clean slate.
Okay, you go no side eye glare.
I got slight side. That's
eye.
Fair. You can't listen. I'm not telling. Here's the beauty of this whole exercise today: is you do you. I'm not telling you how to feel. I'm not telling you what to think. Right? I'm just going in completely blank.
Yes, and that's how I am on the field. And I was listening this morning to Bobby and your boy the bro and Pat this morning on the Jock and Cage show, and Chuck from North Carolina, you've met, you've talked to him a bunch of times. He's always such
love
a guy.
Chuck.
He's
Chuck.
Got such a great
Chuck.
Spirit to him all
I
the
love,
time.
I do. I love Chuck. He's a good man.
So he called in this morning, right? And he, I can't wait to see what Jalen Hurts has. You know, Devontae Smith, I can't wait for that first slant route to Devontae. Like, he's going off, right?
Yeah.
And then Bob goes, how many wins do you think they get this year? Probably six.
Okay.
No, but it's just like he's so excited and still is grounded enough to say.
But that's beautiful.
You know what? But I know they're only going to get six wins.
Right.
That's awesome. It was a great call this morning.
I you know what? I'm glad you brought that up because this is why I love this fan base. I don't, you know me, I just keep it on 100, right? But why I love the fan base, they can get excited for a team without expectations.
Correct.
And you know what that means? That's pure love of the game. That's a pure, I love the sport so much that I don't care if my team isn't expected to make the playoffs. All I care about is if they're playing. And it's a fresh start, and they're in, and I salute them today.
And we're logical. I know there are people that still think the Eagles can win 10 games this year. I don't agree with you, but all right. But, like, a lot of people understand that this is year one of Nick Sirianni, a guy who's never been a head coach before, a guy who didn't even call plays when he was the OC in Indianapolis. This will be year one as a starter, full-time starter for Jalen Hurts. You got still a young receiving core, right? Devontae Smith is going to be your number one receiver. He's a rookie. Jalen Reagor is going to be your number two receiver. He's in his second year, didn't play a full season his rookie year because he was hurt. Miles Sanders, who knows? I mean, there's still a lot of question marks. There's still a lot of youth. There's going to be a lot of growing pains this year. But I think people understand that, and that's the best part. I love it. I'm excited for this season, man. I'm excited to not. I'll probably still get angry at times, but yeah. I'm excited to not.
Yeah, I'm not telling you. You can't have any emotion,
right?
I'm just telling you today on the start of training camp. All right, it's like the day of your daughter's wedding. All right, you get the, you have an audience, and in fact, I can grant you certain things today. Start a training camp. So you can call up and I'll try to grant you what I can grant you. If you have a favor, you ask me and I'll tell you whether or not I can do it.
Does it work for a couple other teams too?
Yeah, so today I grant all favors. Start a training camp.
Can you give me a couple pictures of Damian Lillard?
It's like, well, I tried to give you a picture last night, but somehow it didn't work out.
What the hell, guys?
Come on. We're on that subject for now, for a second. The train, listen, I love the Chooners train, and every day we go, and it sputters along, and I'm in a bar car, and I try not to say much. But dude, the thing is destined to hit a wall and explode.
Nah.
If they have this rotation.
Yes, which is why this deadline's important, which is why last night I can't help but go, what the bleep, Dom? So Dave Dom?
Here's the problem. You got three spots in a rotation until Eflin comes back that are just unusable.
Yeah, Spencer Howard, Matt Moore, and Vince Velasquez could combine for seven innings in a week.
I mean, thank God Alvarado gave you a good performance.
Yes, he did.
I thought they were going to come back. How about the nap? I texted you. The nap shot to the wall. And I thought it was gone, man.
A couple of bad swings, but then he puts it. And then even Kruk screaming, go, baby, go.
I thought it was gone, man. I did. I thought it was out of here. And 7-6 Phillies. But, it's a shame. Because, look, everything, the Nationals are horrendous.
Yes.
Right? And they get a couple three-run bombs, and Trey Turner goes out with COVID early. Right? Like, just crazy stuff happens. And their bullpen's complete and utter trash.
Yes.
And they were trying to give you the game, and Fetty is heinous. And they were trying desperately to give you the game. Inside the Parker, that was a lot of fun.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was. But
Kutch goes yard again.
Kutch. Oh, love you, Kutch. But it's a shame. They got no shot if you're stuck with, even with Eflin coming back, and if Nola can turn the corner and give you what he gave you last out against the Braves, even with that, you got to have at least one more starter. You can't have two-fifths of your rotation be gas.
No, and which is why you need to bring in a guy at the deadline. And I don't know if they would have gotten another pitcher along with Tyler Anderson, but now my concern is, all right, was that your option at starting pitcher, and now you lost him to the Mariners? Like, they have to figure something out.
Yeah.
Because you can't go with this rotation the rest of the way. You just can't.
No, it's, you can't do that. You can't.
We'll find out about this team Friday, 4 o'clock, at the end of this week, man.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. You got to win the next two games.
Yeah, you do. And you can't
go Splitsville against this.
No, you can't.
Team.
And you got Wheeler today, which is great, but the problem is then tomorrow is Velo, because it was supposed to be Tyler Anderson, but now that trade didn't happen.
Okay, that's no excuse. You got to win.
Well, no, I'm saying is I'm suspect about taking 3 or 4 against the Nationals when Vince Velasquez, who has an ERA over 7 over his last 10 starts.
I know.
You need somebody to step up. Now, it's nice that the bats are somewhat awake, right? You know, they had another shot to score. They could have come back. It was disappointing yesterday. But the bats are somewhat awake, which is good. They just need these arms. And how about the bullpen's actually pitching well?
Alvarado looked great last night. See, that's the thing with him that completely... I love him, right? And I love his arm and stuff. But when he's wild, he kills you, right? But that's why GMs fall in love with a guy with a checkered, you know, because he's a heartbreaker.
Yes.
He's got all the ability, all the arm talent in the world, but he's a heartbreaker.
That's why Velasquez has been here for 6 seasons now.
Yes. Yes.
The problem is most teams realize after 2, not 6.
Yes. No, you're right. You're right. But do you have the tingles, the training camp tingles?
Yeah, I'm fired up about today.
Good.
I think we'll hear from Nick Sirianni at some point today.
I believe you.
Like, I'm really excited. It was nice waking up. You know, I saw the tweets that the Eagles will be taking the field today. That fired me up, man. I can't wait.
The Birds. Welcome to Philadelphia, Lincoln Financial Field. On a bright and sunny September Sunday, Nick Sirianni, first-year head coach, leads the Eagles. Upstart Jalen Hurts. Wow! Tootie! There's nothing like pregame into kickoff. Like that 5 minutes.
Hi, everybody. I'm Joe Buck. Troy Aikman will be here in a minute.
I'm Joe. He's Troy.
The Collinsworth, as much as I hate him, the Collinsworth slide in is always great.
Yes. Harry Al Michaels. Chris, what do you think? Dude. Now, listen, that 5 minutes, this is what we got going on today. The 7-1 Eagles looking to, you know, continue the momentum against the cross-state rival Pittsburgh Steelers.
Everything's great about game day.
It is. It's the best.
And I hate half the people. Like, I don't like Jay Glazer, but the last second injury updates that he gives you, like, I'm like, all right, I'm in.
Talk about the easiest job on the planet.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about Jay is, and I've known, I actually, whatever, I don't need to tell the story, but
seems like a good dude.
Yeah, Jay's fine. A great guy. He's fine. but, like, you got to go like Schefter, who's like on every news story, right? Jay just has a call. It looks like he's a go. Like, you know, you text the PR guy.
Exactly. My sources are telling me.
But, you know, it's like 3 seconds. There you go. But I love it. I agree with you. There's nothing better than the live look-in that you see.
Oh, I love a live look-in.
All right. There we are. And the camera gives you the 360.
I've seen the quarterback warming up with the headphones on.
Yeah.
They're always getting ready.
Yeah. I love walking out of the tunnel. Dudes, you right, with their, go back in the day with their Beats.
Yeah.
Walking, getting ready. Well, especially when the weather starts to turn a little bit. Like, you go outside, and it's like, you know, 45.
Oh, yeah, the sweatshirt weather. Oh,
the hoodie's on.
Yes.
Right. It's the greatest.
Still got a few more months until then.
I know, but I love the fall, man. The fall is the best. As much as I like summer, there's nothing that beats fall. Because you experience still the warmth of summer in September, to the little bit of the cool nights, to then, you know, to Thanksgiving. Like, that block of time is the perfect, it's the perfect weather around here. And it's just football, man. The leaves, everything about it, the crisp Canadian air that comes through, whoosh, that cleans it. And it's football. Our gift, football. All right. Happy training camp. Are you with me today when it comes with the clean slate. I got the big whiteboard, and we'll fill it in as the season goes. Training camp, we'll analyze everything in an autopsy fashion, and we'll fill in the gigantic whiteboard. But right now, it's clean for everybody. Are you with me? Also, on the day that the Eagles start training camp, I grant you favors, like in The Godfather, on the day of my daughter's wedding. So, you know, bring them, and we'll see if Trunis and I can make it happen for you. FanFest tickets are easy. 610-632.
No secret word needed.
No, just ask for them. 610-632-0975 is how you join us. We're just getting started on a momentous training camp Wednesday.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Hello.
Hello.
Tunis! Football! Tunis! Football.
All right. I want to get some smattering of Instagram chatter. All right. Jason says, I know everyone is excited about the Eagles. I just can't get there. I can't get past the definition of dysfunction that was showcased through January and February. The leopard doesn't change his stripes. But I know every other fan wants to just sweep under the carpet. And listen,
yeah.
What?
Well, that's kind of where I'm at. This is why I'm still looking at the front office side. I'll look at the field, clean slate. But I'm kind of with your man Jason there. Where I'm still like, yeah, there's a lot that went on.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I get it, Jace. Believe me, I understand it. I'm just telling you, this is what I choose to do. And the only reason why I choose to do it like this, for my own enjoyment.
Yes.
All right? I'm being selfish. For me to clean the slate, I look at it as being selfish. You know why? Because, listen, I'm dubious. I mean, deep down, you know, there's a lot of questions in every aspect of that building. But to go into it with, you know, that kind of non-belief is not fun.
No, it's not.
It'll ruin the season for me. You know, football, it's a short season. It boom, it's gone, right? Like, you know how fast, like how time works. Summertime, there is a slowness about the summertime, right? Time doesn't whoosh through. But look, September, you got stuff going on. Business heats up. School, if you're going to college, you know, you got life just picks up pace in September. And then you got what you love, which is football. And it's so weird because you're really talking by Thanksgiving, which is like the third, fourth week of November. It's basically, you know, almost done.
Right.
Like college football's almost done.
Yeah. There's a couple teams that are still fighting for a division, but
right,
not really.
Now the extra week will elongate it a bit. But my point is it's September and October and, you know, first couple weeks of November. That's 10 weeks. That flies by, man. And once you get to week 10, 11, you know, but that flies by. So I don't want to just throw away a season. time is valuable. Time is precious. So I don't want to, and listen, I'm not saying it's a bad attitude, because it's probably the right attitude to be, to look at it with suspicion, right? But I just choose right now to be selfish and to look forward to it.
Yeah, to have some fun, because you know it's not going to be a playoff year. But you also do know all the flaws, or the flaws that they could have. But you're hoping that they overcome it. You hope Nick Sirianni learns on the job a little bit.
Right.
So I'm with you, man.
Penn State Evan says, the only problem with pregame announcer intro is that this year you're going to get Dick Stockton or Chris Myers, not Joe Buck.
Yeah, that's true. And that's going to kind of suck.
And there he is. Welcome. I'm Dick Stockton. And there he is, warming up at quarterback, Jalen Reagor. Joe Hurts.
Hold on, I got to find the audio. I have it somewhere where he reads the stuff in the parentheses. Like, come on, dude.
You've been a broadcaster 1,000 years, you know, and you're going to read, like, we have reads all the time, right? Ad lib here.
Yeah, it says ad lib here, right?
Come on, dude. I live here. No, dude. Get ready for a murder, she wrote. I live here. That was that, like, infamous Pat Summerall.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he was the greatest, because he was still one of the great, because he was so... I had this conversation with Baldy one time. He was so brief with his words, so economic with his words, that every word, even there was the simplest thing ever, but he had a great delivery, a great voice. He would just go, Aikman, Irvin, touchdown. Like three words. You go, wow, what a call.
Right. You thought he was fantastic.
Right. He was like, Aikman, Irvin, touchdown.
Right.
Like, all right.
You're like, yes, that's great. And I remember John Madden talked about the murder she wrote. They had bets on how long he could hold it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he would say, like, coming up next is murder, she wrote. And he would do it on purpose. He would sometimes pause.
Do me a favor. I want to institute this on the show. When we have come up with something like that, go dig in the archives of YouTube for stuff like that. Because I would love to hear that story, or you know, him do it.
Okay.
I'm sure you could just go type in, search, you know, Summerall Madden Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that would be awesome.
I'll be able to find it.
The Visa Halftime Report. Kurt Terry, Howie, Michael, and Tony. You look on graphic for the final two bullet points.
I don't want to be mean,
but I hate to do it.
Look on graphic for two bullet points. What? Come on, Holmes. You're like a venerable... This guy, listen, I got no pity, because he was a Celtic man, all right? He was a Celtic. All those Sixers
and Bill Russell.
And Celtic. Yeah, he worked with Russell and Hineson, and he was a Celtic man too, Stockton. So bleep Stockton. He was anti-Sixer. So you can mock him all you want.
On graphic for the final two bullet points.
Here's the thing, Ed.
Could you imagine if you're like the director of the broadcast, you go, are you serious?
I still remember playing that for the first time. This is when I was still working with Mike. So that was what, 3 or 4 years ago now?
Yeah, he's still going strong.
And he's still
chugging.
Still
he's
calling like play-by-play.
He's like the Tunis train right now.
We're going to make that jump. Don't you worry. Just hang on tight. That's all.
You ain't Fonzie. Edith gets us started. What's going on, Edith?
Hey, Anthony. How are you this morning, Hank?
What's going on, baby?
I'm excited. I've been waiting all year long for my Eagles. I'm so pumped up and excited. But I do not have any preconceived notions of what we're going to be doing this year. I'm just going to let it go. I'm not going to be thinking about, you know, how many games we're going to win, how many games we're not going to win. I'm just going to let it fly.
You know what? And that's exactly it. We're going into it, right? Like, you're going to go into it. I got a guy like Edith. There's a guy, Greg, I love, Greg Miller. Greg says, if they start 1-7, people won't be singing the same tune. And that's true. But right now, they're not 1-7, right? So,
exactly.
So if they are 1-7, then the whiteboard is filled with all of the data that we know to grouse about or whatever. I mean,
exactly. And I'm kind of a little bit like Andrew. I don't want to give a pass to the front office just yet. I really don't, Anthony, because I'm still steaming. Because they don't listen to their scouts. If they listen to their scouts, next draft, because clearly those scouts in that room weren't happy with those decisions, some of them. So I want them to learn a lesson. I
can dig it, man. And I'm not giving anybody a pass. All I'm doing right now is I'm just wiping the slate clean. Like, I don't want any baggage, right? I'm going to start. It's a new regime.
Yes.
It's new everything. So, you know what? I just want to be clean slate. Let me see what we got. That's it. Like, it's simple. I'm just going, let's go.
And I'm with you. I just want to see what they can do and what they put together on the field. Give that boy a chance. You know, give her a chance. Give the new coach a chance. Give them a chance and see what they can do. They may very well surprise a whole lot of people.
Listen, if you just have an open mind, if they don't, they don't. If they do, great. If not, then, you know, we know how to fix it or what the issues are. I mean that's how you're just leaving the gate. Right? Like, that's what this is. It's the beginning of the journey.
Yes. Yes. And I agree with you 100%. So, in honor of my Eagles, Andrew, can I please hear our Eagles song?
That's a request we can do on the day of the Eagles training camp. Judas, yes. Play the fight song. Love you. Sound? Did that feel good?
That feels great.
All right.
I love it.
All right. Just checking.
I love Edith's positivity.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is the training camp, man. That's all. Like what Greg said, like, look, Greg could very well be right. They could be 1-7. Hurts could not be the starter. You know, will people be singing a different tune? Yeah, of course. But none of that's happened yet.
No.
And that's the point. And if it goes that route, then, the whiteboard is all filled up. You know, this thing is, it's a clean file. You ever do a Word file? As a writer, I do a lot of these empty Word files, right? I start off, right? I name the file, and then I start to fill the empty file with my words. And that's what this is.
It's an empty Word file.
It's what it is. It's begging to be filled, and we'll fill it as the season goes. And we'll make determinations. And we'll make adjustments. And we'll have to look and see what happens. That's just my approach.
Right. I think it's a good approach. My biggest fear is for the people that have their hopes up real high, like 10 wins. I don't want them living and dying by every game the first couple weeks and, oh, my God, fire this guy, trade that guy.
It might not
be a good season, win total-wise.
Listen.
I'm going to have fun watching this year.
Here's the problem with those people. You can't save them from that heartbreak because they don't want to hear it. Like, they don't want you to hear it. Like, right. They don't want you to tell them, like, dude, they're not winning 10 games. And those, how do you know? Well,
look at the division. I think it's going to be better this year.
Right. Like, it's the same conversation, right?
Right.
So you can't save them. They just got to deal with it. You know? I mean, that's all.
All right.
Just let it be. This is one where you got to go live, let live. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that kind of year,
we're,
man.
We're all in it. It all matters of, you know, where you're at. Like, can we celebrate a year where there's no expectations? And I think the answer is yes.
Yes. Well, I think we should. Would you like to hear John Madden talking about Murder, She Wrote?
Yes.
60 Minutes will be coming up following football, followed by Murder, She Wrote.
We would have bets on how long it's going to be between Murder and She. And it got longer and longer.
Then it's Murder, She Wrote, starring Angela Lansbury.
So we're doing a game, and there's a movie following the football.
Followed by part one of a CBS Sunday night movie, Gone with the Wind, starring Clark Gable and Vivian Leigh. All coming.
I laughed so hard, I had to take my headset off and go out in the hallway.
That's awesome. Great job, Judas. So I love this stuff. That's what we need to do this season, to enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, let's have a good time.
You know, you play, you get clips like that stuff. That's awesome. Murder, She Wrote.
I just love that it was a part one of Gone with the Wind. That movie was so damn long.
Yeah, I mean, you know what's amazing? How antiquated. Dude, first of all, the best is Maddie goes, yes, with the football. There was a movie following the football.
The football, yeah.
So the best is, back then in the antiquated world of like the infancy of cable, they would show these movies, right? Like these movies on network TV.
Yes.
Like the only way you watch a real movie is on network TV. And I remember being a kid, and like my grandmother would be watching those old movies with the like the Romans and their horse and buggy, and I'm like, what the hell?
Like, this movie isn't fun.
Like look how bad it is. Like, it doesn't even look like it. There's anything near it, right? Now you got like incredible. It's like in 30 years, right? In 30 years, like everything.
Oh, it's advanced so much, man.
Right. It's amazing. Let's go to Nicole. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, good morning, Coach. How are you?
Great. Happy Eagles training camp.
Yeah, hearing the fight song really pumped me up this morning. I can't wait for the start of the season. It's an awesome request to ask for.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Okay, so here's my question for you. How do you feel about the Steven Nelson signing? Because I thought that this was kind of supposed to be a rebuild this year, but the signing makes me feel like they're trying to go for it all.
It's very perceptive of you, Nicole. I do think, though, they looked at their secondary and they go, man, I mean, we still have to compete, right? So it makes a lot of sense. Because you also have to give your young players a chance. Now, they're an odd build, because they have a good bit of veterans and a good bit of young players, right? So I think to give the younger players a chance to grow, you need to be as solid as you can in every facet. So if you can improve your team, right, a guy like Nelson, and I agree with you. I mean, you know, I hear what you're saying, what that signing would mean. But think about it. If you have a veteran corner like that, you help your secondary like that, what it does is, It helps the quarterback, because you're not all of a sudden looking down and you're down 21-3 every game.
Right, right.
You know? So I think that's what it is. I don't think, like, my expectations are nil. Like, how are you looking at it, Nick?
I'm looking at it pretty high. My hopes are high.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? How many wins?
9 wins.
All right. That's a winning record.
Yeah, we're diehard, so I want to see something good this year.
Now I want to ask you this.
Wild card.
All right, let me ask you this.
Okay.
If it's not, and it's more of a 5-6 win season, are you okay? You're not devastated, are you?
On to the next one. No.
All right. Well, you got a good attitude, Nick.
Thank you.
I like it. I like it.
I like you. I think you're awesome.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Are you coming to FanFest or what?
Oh, we would love to.
Hold on. You got them.
Oh, you're amazing.
Yeah, hold on. You got it. You got the tickets. What do we got, Junis? Trade? Baseball trade?
No, I got my first live update from camp.
Oh, yeah?
Jalen Hurts was just intercepted in 7-on-7s by Josiah Scott, who the Eagles traded for this offseason. More live play-by-play to come on Cuz Radio.
Hurts back to throw. He's looking. Oh, picked off by Josiah Scott.
And as Kevin Kincaid of Crossing Broad says, I've seen enough. He's not the quarterback one.
That was funny about QB1, RB1, RB2. It's such a fantasy football.
Oh, yeah. It is.
You know what I mean? The vernacular, like, it's more
fun. Oh, he's a flex player, for sure.
Yeah. You know. Like, that's an ooh for me.
Well, going flex
when
or going
I hear RB1.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's an ooh. Yeah. Like, they're not.
I've definitely said who's CB2 before.
Yeah.
Cornerback. But I don't play defense with fantasy football. I also don't play fantasy football.
Really?
I haven't played in 4 years now.
Really?
Yeah, just.
You're not interested?
No, I kind of just lost wanting to do it. If we did a show league.
What?
Yeah.
You're out?
Here's part of the reason why. 2 years in a row, I won 1 year, and then the following year came in second. So you're supposed to get your money back in the league if you come in second. The year prior, I should have gotten all the money, and nobody paid up. I said, so why am I doing this? I'm out.
Oh, for you, it was about the money.
Yeah. But I'll do it for fun. I'll do a show league if we want to do one.
So, what? Interesting. You don't do the...
It's been 4 years.
You don't do that, huh? Huh.
Yeah, I've just kind of lost interest in it. It's fun. It wasn't, you know. I was like, all right.
Well, I'm shocked that you're not an FF.
4 years, man.
An FF-er.
FF-lin.
Do you ever do the daily fantasy?
Yeah, I've done that.
You like that?
Yeah, it's a good time. I mean, hey, make some cash out of it.
They like the $2 game,
yeah.
where you could win, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I've done that.
What do they call it? The Millie Maker.
Right. But I've never done it's been 4 years since I've played like a normal fantasy. It was a work league here.
Really?
Yeah.
I still do the Primos League.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Nikki, Junior, Eric, the whole crowd. We still do the same. We didn't do the baseball this year. Which bothered me. I like the baseball better.
Do you?
Yeah.
I did that 1 year and I hated it.
You hated it?
Yeah, because I just had to pay attention too much.
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, I'm out.
You know what it does, though? You know every player in the league.
Yeah, no, it helps for sure. It's great. That's why I got MLB The Show, man.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's the same. That's kind of the same thing. All right. Good stuff. We're off to a fun start. Eagles training camp. It has begun. Two open lines. You want to grab them? 610-632-0975. Cuz Radio Tunis. Let's talk about Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Our favorite Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Street Road, Ben Salem. I gave it a lock. Tunis, what did Team USA do?
They covered.
Yeah, right. But what else did they do? They opened a can on Iran.
Yes.
All right. Route City, I told you. Take them first half, take them for the game. Team USA would open a can on Iran, and they did. Check it out. You can bet on the Olympics. You can bet on all kinds of baseball. Today, I mean, come on. The Phillies, -195 today. It's Wheeler against Corbin. Corbin's horrid. Phillies have to win today. I mean, the Nationals stink. I got to love the Phillies. You can lay it 1.5 so you don't spend on all the juice. Check it out, man. They have all kinds of things. In fact, the big brain on Brad is all over the Tigers this afternoon. So just FYI, go to parkscasino.com/PA. Use the promo code SPORTS. You can download that incredible sports book to your phone. You got to be 21. You got to be in PA. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's 11 o'clock. Happy Wednesday to all across the Delaware Valley. Eagles training camp underway. Practice got started at 10. So, I said earlier, here is my outlook for the season. This is my mindset entering the season. Tunis, I'm going to show our YouTube audience. This is what it is. This includes all of my expectations and all of my preconceived notions. Now, you know, I'm also a note taker, and I keep copious notes, various notebooks, many, many notebooks, but this is what I'm holding up right now. Can you describe it to our radio audience?
It looks like a blank sheet of paper.
It's a whiteboard, mini whiteboard.
I'm sorry, I can't see.
Yeah, see, you know, how big it is? It's not, you know, normal sheet of paper, but what you see what's written on it?
Nothing.
That's correct.
And not the word nothing.
Right.
Literally nothing.
Literally nothing. You know why?
Because I can't.
Because that is my expectations and my preconceived notions. Let me tell you, you should try it. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm saying you should try to try it. You know why? It's liberating.
I'm sure it is.
It's liberating. I feel like I'm on a cloud. I feel liberated. Free.
Oh, you're baptized. I was baptized by the Phillies waters a few weeks ago. You're baptized by the Eagles waters. I'm still not fully baptized because I kind of look at the Howie situation, Jeffrey situation, listen, the Hallaby situation all a little weird.
Listen. I hate analytics. So therefore, Hallaby is never, I mean, that was never okay with me. All right, like if he wants to just throw out some data that Nick can use here and there, that's one thing, reports. But I don't want to think about power struggles and Hallabies. Like I really don't, because that brings me down and that makes me sour. You understand?
I hear you.
So
you don't want to feel sour.
I choose not to think about that. Stop trying to ruin my buzz.
I'm sorry. I don't want
the minute you like. Listen, I'm all good with like I could easily pardon Howie because I think he's done enough good to offset the mistakes in the draft. So I could pardon him with a good conscience. I mean, what I can't do. Is I can't, the Hallaby thing, I can't do.
Yeah, no.
Because I look at Hallaby and it's everything that's wrong with sports.
Yes.
And that dude sickens me in every way. It's that the fact, not him, but the fact that he has any kind of say within the organization.
Oh, yeah, big say, football decisions.
Like, that sickens me.
Yeah.
Right? That's Klentak. It's like, you guys don't see it. You guys, I in your quest to be smart and your quest to be ahead, you are shooting yourself in the face, not the foot. You're shooting yourself in the face because that's what the Phillies did. All right? Klentak shot the Phillies in the face. And that's why we're like, oh, we're doing this simulated playoff train, which is what it is. And it's not real.
What are you talking about?
This train we're on. We know
I pull it in the parking lot.
We know the true outcome with their flawed. And unfortunately for the Kutches of the world and the Bryces and the Wheelers, without any kind of reinforcements, massive reinforcements, they're just too flawed. And it's all because of Klentak.
But they can still make the playoffs.
All because of Klentak and analytics. Analytics killed this franchise. And it pains me to believe that analytics would have a place equal to football. It kills me.
Yeah.
Kills me.
I hear you. Now, would you like some more updates from camp?
I would.
All right. So, Brandon Lee Gowton of Bleeding Green is doing a fantastic job kind of live tweeting everything.
I like Brandon Lee Gowton.
So, I'm going through his Twitter thread here. It looked like Jalen Reagor was not going to participate in practice today because he was not doing warm-ups, but he is now working on individual drills. Apparently had a nice over-the-shoulder catch, so that's good. Nick Sirianni is apparently very hands-on when he's coaching.
He actually
pulled Travis Fulgham aside after a wide receiver drill. Fulgham didn't do the right thing, and he's very animated talking to the Fulgham. Jordan Mailata apparently has a very sweet mustache right now. However, he's also not lining up with the first team. Andre Dillard is at left tackle, and Nate Herbig is at left guard as Isaac Seumalo did not dress for practice today. Slay and Nelson are your cornerback one and two, as you imagine. Avante Maddox is in the slot, and Kayvon Wallace is with the first team at safety in replace of Rodney McLeod, who's still dealing with his injury. And there you go. That's pretty much it. Devontae Smith apparently dropped a pass, and that was a shock to everyone.
All right. Well, there you go. I'm dying to see him. Like, I can't wait to watch Devontae Smith.
Oh, and now Jeff McClain tweeting that Jalen Reagor is on the injury report with a lower body tightness. So he's kind of practicing, but he's on the sidelines a lot.
All right. Okay.
Just an update.
You know what's terrible? Is I actually have to, when it comes to Reagor.
Yeah, he's not really exciting.
No.
I think he has a better season than last year. But yeah. I'm not saying he has a great season by any means. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not like he has to improve all that much to have a better season.
Yeah.
And it helps that Devontae Smith is the number one.
Yeah. Love Devontae. Chris in the Northeast. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Yo, cuz.
What's up, Chris? What's going on, man?
Happy Eagle season, baby.
Happy Eagle season to you.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I can't wait for football to start, man.
You know, there's something magical about it. Like, I don't understand it, but it has this effect, almost like Pavlov's dog. Like, you know, you hear the bell, you want to eat. I hear that music. I feel that. I see the camp, and the adrenaline starts to whoosh through your body.
Yeah, it's almost like Christmas morning.
Yes, yes. What is it? What do you think it is?
I think it's just the passion. It's just the desire. It's football. Like, I don't know what it is. It's just this feeling comes over me in July. And then once training camp begins, it's like I turn into a whole different person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true, man. Yeah. What do you got?
I'm trying to stay kind of like even keeled this year. Take it like, you know, game by game. I know that sounds kind of cliche. I'm just, like, not trying to get too high, but I'm definitely not going to be low like some people call it and saying, oh, this season's a waste, and I don't know if I can watch this, and, yeah, I can't be with those bozos.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm, you know what? I'm telling you, Chris, I got it, like, I'm completely I'm just doing my thing. I'm not worried about anybody else. Like, you know, if you're not into it, I understand. Like, all right, that's cool. Maybe you'll come around. I'm telling you, that attitude, Chris, I feel free.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really worry about what other people think or say.
Yeah, man.
I mean, it doesn't affect your day-to-day life at all.
You're right. You know, again, we love it, right? Like, we enjoy this sort of thing. So, hey, I don't know. I just want to enjoy it. I'm a simple creature right now. I think that's how you are.
Yeah, definitely.
My man. All right, brother. Yeah. So, listen, I want to hear from you on a regular basis.
Yeah, definitely. This is like my third time calling in, I think.
Nice. I like it. Are you hooked up already?
Yeah, yeah. You guys hooked me up, nice. I think, like a month ago. I think I'm in the database.
Good, good. I like it.
I got a favor, cuz.
Yes, on the day of Eagles training camp, I am granting favors, yes.
Can you grant no major injuries this year?
Well, I wish I could. That I cannot do, my friend. That I cannot do. I can get Chunas on the caper, but I can't do that, my brother.
Worth a shot, right?
Yeah, worth a shot. I appreciate that, brother. You're the best. I wish I could grant that favor.
Yeah, but the Eagles and injuries haven't.
They've been synonymous.
Great. Yeah.
Not good. I wish I could do that. They have been terrible. How about that?
That's a pretty big ask, man.
Yeah. Scott says, hey, cuz, why do you blast Rager like it's his fault? The Eagles took him in the first round, but Devontae Smith automatically gets a pass right off the bat.
We haven't watched Devontae Smith play a second just yet.
Bingo.
He hasn't played a down yet.
I don't understand why. Like, I don't even understand the question, Scott.
And I could just tell you based off of watching them play, one guy is far better than the other.
Yeah, like, Scotty, I'm not feeling the question, babe. You know, don't get it.
If Devontae Smith in the week one is dropping balls and not having a good week, I'll go, oh, that's not a good first week.
Yeah, buddy. You know,
it's day one of training camp.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
Can I read you something real quick
on a
Phillies-related note?
Yes.
So some guy who puts out all kinds of stats, it's not an analytics stat, but after Bryce hit the inside-the-park home run yesterday, his average dipped since then, but after he hit the inside-the-park home run yesterday, his average crept back over 300. Which a lot of people don't realize because he was like 270 for a while, but then he's hot right now. So Bryce Harper, after hitting that inside the park home run yesterday, is the only qualified batter other than Vlad Jr. to have 300-plus batting average, 400-plus on-base percentage, and a 500-plus slugging in all of baseball. What sucks is he's playing so well right now, but you have pitchers that go three or four innings, and you're not in a position to win.
Yeah, and people don't even recognize it.
No, they think that Bryce Harper should have 3 home runs a game and 5 or 6 RBIs a game to put them in a position to win.
No,
Matt Moore doesn't give up 6 earned?
I mean, that's the problem.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
But it sucks because this is his carry the team moment. Remember I've been saying that? Since the Chutis train first got put on the tracks, I was waiting for the Harper stretch, and we're in it right now.
Yeah.
But it's obviously shadowed by the lack of pitching on this team.
Yeah, that's a shame.
It sucks.
It does suck. I agree.
I didn't realize his numbers were that good. Like him and Vlad Jr. being the only two.
Yeah,
Vlad also has, 30 home runs. So I mean, shows how impressive Vlad Jr. is. He's a stud.
Hey, I got to invoke an NBA thing. Can I do that real quick?
Yeah, what do you got?
This is thanks to Jamal for turning me on to this thing. Wow. Headline report, Dame Lillard ecstatic at chance of playing with super athletic and mobile big man after competing alongside Bam Adebayo.
Joel Embiid's pretty big and athletic.
Hello?
I'm saying.
Now, does it mean he wants to go to Miami, or does it mean he also says, you know, he's happy to be with a big man?
I don't think it's a Miami thing. I think it's in general, like, wow, that's a lot of fun, because he's had, what, Yusuf Nurkic, who I do, like, I like Yusuf Nurkic, but
yeah,
he's also a slow-footed guy out there at times.
Right.
Enes Kanter's been on that team. Right.
No, but you got a superstar.
Yeah.
I mean, Embiid is the top three player in the league, is he not?
Yes.
Okay.
He finished top three MVP voter.
Right, he's a top three player in the league. So, if you're Dame, why would you not want to play with Joe? Dude, we got draft tomorrow night, dude. You believe
that?
Well,
something's going to happen tomorrow. Something will happen.
You know what's funny? I woke up today, and I was like, oh, training camp. Eagle. All right, Eagles. And then I started to think, well, you know, the draft tomorrow, is something going to go down?
Something's going to happen. A man's on the move again, by the way. The Valanciunas.
Oh, yeah?
He got traded.
How did I miss that? Where'd he go?
He went to New Orleans. It was a weird trade.
New Orleans?
New Orleans traded Steven Adams and a few picks. Well, let me see if I can find the exact terms for it.
Valanciunas.
Yeah, Valanciunas on the move.
He's now a Pelican.
I'm glad he's out of Memphis.
Yeah, but he was pretty good in Memphis.
Yeah, he'll be pretty good with
him and Ja.
With this squad here and with the Pelicans.
Will he play?
Why wouldn't he? So Memphis.
Got Zion next to him. That's not really a great fit, is it?
Memphis, maybe. He sent Valanciunas and their 2021 17th and 51st pick to New Orleans for Steven Adams, Eric Bledsoe, and the 10th and 40th pick, as well as a 2022 first-round protected pick by the Lakers.
What do you think if you're Memphis? Memphis actually wasn't bad last year.
Yeah, I mean, Ja was fantastic.
What are you trying to do if you're them?
Well, now you have another guard in Bledsoe, I guess, with them to help out.
Yeah.
Secondary ball handler. I mean, they had all those guys that could shoot.
Interesting. Your boy Valanciunas.
On the move again, man.
Wow.
Bounced around.
Well, that Dame thing is interesting.
Oh, for sure.
Come on. Can't we just get Damian Lillard, please?
That would be really nice.
Please. Let's go to Aaron. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Aaron.
What up, Cuzzo? Ups man checking in.
What's up, Ups man?
Oh, man. Can't call it. I understand it's football season.
It is.
Now, listen. You know how I feel about the Eagles right now. I'm with you, Tunis. This front office, it just really left a sour taste in my mouth. I'm going to watch, but Howie and his front office is still here. I can't get over what happened this past season. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, but I'm still upset about it, Ant. Because honestly, we weren't wrong about Wentz. We were wrong about his makeup and his mentality, but as far as his physical attributes, we weren't wrong about that, Ant.
I know.
We weren't. I'm more intrigued on seeing what they're going to do opposing to, you know, what we're going to do, because I have no expectation on the Eagles. And I'm intrigued on what he's going to do with his coach now. Now, everybody talking about all these picks that we got, they're excited. I was listening to Mike yesterday and everybody calling in about these picks, but we still got Howie picking the picks.
Right.
I can't be excited about that. I can't. So, plus, you know, after this basketball season ended, I just don't want to be emotionally involved in that.
Okay. So, let me try to help you out just a little bit. I mean, listen, I fully acknowledge the drafts of the past 2 years, preceding this past one, right, were horrid, right? They were bad drafts, really bad drafts.
Yep.
But I can make the argument that they were negated by the personnel moves that included the Super Bowl, and I like the draft this year. I like some of the moves that they've made. I agree with you, the Doug thing, the Carson mess. I hear you, but I want you to be selfish right now. And this is what I want. And this is why I want you to just be selfish. I want you to go, it's not about them. It's about me.
Right.
And every football season that goes by, listen, we all know that, you know, nothing's promised in this world, right? We're not promised tomorrow.
Right.
So if there's a football season that's upon us, it's in, they're starting everything fresh. Why not?
Well,
just listen, jump in and just enjoy yourself. Listen, if they suck, right, let's be real here. Like, if Jalen Hurts can't play or, you know, Nick Sirianni's a boob or any of that stuff, well, that'll play out. Then so be it.
Well, I'm excited. Listen, I'm excited about the new coaching staff. I just, you know, I want to see what they're going to do. I'm not going to, like you said, I'm giving them a clean slate. I'm giving the coaching staff and the players a clean slate, but not the front office. That's where I'm at with it. And the way this basketball season ended, it cut me deep, Shrek. It cut me real deep.
I feel the same way, man. Listen, I am so, I'm still reeling from it. Like, you know when you get hit so hard that it lingers into the next day?
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I think there was I remember a couple occasions where I got popped so hard that the next day my head was still going. I was like, oh man, that's not good. That's what that Sixer thing did to us.
Yeah, it did. And they owe us to go get Dame.
They do.
They owe us that.
They owe us. Yes.
They really owe us.
I agree.
To do that.
They owe us one. That's where it comes back to back in the day. Yes.
And this bro guy, like, what's up with the bro, man? Like,
yeah,
now you on
weak.
The morning show talk about he didn't commit to it and all that.
There's numerous, Trunas, you bear witness here. There's numerous times that he agreed.
I know.
Both in writing and on the air and off the air.
Yep.
He agreed.
That's crazy, man. Like, come on, bro. Listen, you can't do that to the people.
Nah.
All right, if you don't want to be naked and all that, all right, that's fine.
Nah, listen, I told them.
We can compromise, but you got to do what you said you was going to do.
Right? I agree.
Sacrifice yourself to the guys, man.
Amen, Aaron. Amen. Amen, buddy. Thank you, brother.
All right,
you're the
bro.
Man. Listen, he was talking about the bro, dude.
Yes. Lucky he didn't get zapped.
Well, the bro deserves to get a beating.
Hey, by the way, so it looks like practice is over.
All right.
Nick Sirianni should speak momentarily. We will cover it, carry it. But it looks like Howie Roseman will also be at the podium alongside Nick Sirianni for day one.
I like it. I like it a lot. Also, my man Scott hooks me up with a little nugget. And it involves Ben Simmons and his landing spot. Oh! Oh! Interesting. Speaking of odds, let's talk about Parks Casino, Street Row Bend, Salem. The 4-for-4 Casino and Sportsbook will be there tomorrow for Cousins Corner, hanging out. You could go there any day, all day. Check it out. Go right to your phone. You can just download it. Go to parkscasino.com/PA and check out all the goodies, like football futures. If you think Jalen is going to have a big year, 20.5 touchdown passes is his total. So you can do that. You can bet on just about anything when it comes to games, in-game betting. I do love the Phillies tonight. Again, with Corbin pitching for Washington. Chunas, come on, Chunas. That's got to be money. Lay the 1.5. Go Fightins. I mean, at least first five. It's a big price, but I would take him first five if you're afraid of bullpen. But you know Wheeler. Wheeler's going to give you 7-8. Check it out. ParksCasino.com/PA. Promo code sports. Get a risk-free bet up to $500. Got to be in PA. Got to be 21. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
B75 The Fanatic.
Oh, 11:30 across the Delaware Valley. Our 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
Just so you know, Ruben Frank tweeted out that Howie Roseman and Zach Ertz have been chatting one-on-one on the field post-practice for 10 minutes now.
Oh, yeah?
So I don't know what that means. Howie will be speaking with Sirianni coming up, so I'm sure that will be a question.
That's
hey, what
good.
Were you talking about?
Yeah, interesting.
He showed up with a full head of blonde hair, Zach Ertz.
There you go.
He's usually, you know, a shaven head kind of guy.
Okay. What does that mean?
Nothing. I just thought I'd let you know.
Okay. Should I care about that?
No. I'm just, you know, people were tweeting about it. Right. Just wanted to fill you in.
No. Listen, that's good. Do I care about that?
Yeah, man.
Hey, I care about this. You ready? Ben Simmons, according to The Athletic, there's now 3 landing spots. They handicap. Are you ready?
Well, what is it? The normal ones? Warriors?
No.
Even though I saw that they wouldn't
no,
want them, actually.
They're all Eastern Conference.
Really?
And this is according to The Athletic, that the 3 teams.
So not the Lakers, number Clippers.
One, all Eastern Conference.
Oh, my God.
The Raptors.
Which is that trade we talked about yesterday.
The Wizards.
Beal.
And the Heat.
Well, that means Jimmy and Ben are not playing. I would imagine they can't play together. Was Jimmy come back to Philly?
I don't understand.
You want Jimmy? Philly?
I don't understand it. So he says, according to The Athletic, Sham Sharania, the Sixers hope to get an all-star player back. Assuming Butler and Bam are off limits, the Sixers may not be all that keen on a deal that includes Tyler Hero and Precious. Remember Precious?
Yeah, Precious Achiuwa.
Right. Duncan Robinson and Kendrick Nunn.
I don't want that.
I don't want that at all.
No, Tyler Hero is a bit of a fraud. We found that
he
out
stinks.
This year.
I don't want to. I agree. So, I don't know what that's about. The Heat. That doesn't seem like a fit.
That can't work, can it?
But they, apparently, I guess Jimmy's okay with Ben. Listen, I do know this. Jimmy's biggest issue was not Simmons.
Right. It was
Brett. Jimmy had the Brett problem.
And they talked about it. I remember in the JJ Rat Reddick podcast, about taking the ball out of Ben's hands come playoff time. And Jimmy Butler actually approached, according to Jimmy Butler, he approached Brett Brown saying, hey, why would you take the ball out of Ben's hands? We've been doing it all year long. Now all of a sudden come playoff time, you don't do that. So you're right. I don't think there was a Jimmy and Ben beef, but I don't know if they could play together.
Well,
like from a basketball standpoint.
I mean,
both ball dominant.
Listen, Jimmy, as long as Jimmy gets the ball in the spot, I mean, Jimmy can play. I mean, Jimmy is not really the point guard. He can play off ball.
Right. I also don't want that to happen because I don't want Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn, and Duncan Robinson. Like, I don't want that package.
Well, I don't want it to happen either, but maybe there's a 3-team kind of trade where Dame is involved or Beal. The Beal thing,
I think that's legit.
I think that could be legit.
I still can't believe he hadn't been traded up until this point, Beal. Washington kept on trying to make it work poorly.
So Beal and then the Raptor thing, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that stuff is legit.
Yeah, maybe it is. Well, that Raptors report is the Sixers offering
the
Ben.
The Athletic, you know.
Oh, yeah. You go Athletic over whatever news network we talked about yesterday. But they had that report that Ben was offered for a couple of players.
Yes.
Something's going to happen because tomorrow's the draft. Like, something's going to happen because a lot of these guys value these picks.
Right.
So we'll find something out tonight, tomorrow morning, or during the draft.
I believe so. I believe so.
NBA will probably want it to be during the draft, I would imagine, in terms of viewership.
It's pretty interesting. It's really interesting, brother. It really is. I'm like holding my breath because I'm kind of hopeful because I don't think Morey makes a bad trade.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think he does anything just to get rid of him.
Yeah, I don't think so. I can't imagine that Morey makes a bad. I just don't say it. I don't think he makes a bad trade. I don't say it. All right, let's go to, where are we at? Colby Kolb, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Colby.
Anthony, what's up? I'm so excited. It's football season, brother.
Yes.
Oh, man. Hey, listen, the only thing that I expect out of this season is to have a good time. Sit around with some buddies, watch my favorite team, drink some beer, and just absolutely love the Eagles unconditionally.
You know, that's kind of. And listen, I'm not saying you got to be a sycophant, right? Like, I'm not telling you, you got to be, you know, everything they do is great. I'm just saying, I'm just giving them a fresh start. It's a new thing. Let me just see what they're going to do. That's all, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree with you. But just personally, I love football. I put football in the top five most important things in my life. I'm so excited.
It's so awesome, isn't it? Isn't it awesome? It's like, oh my God, football.
Even just listening to Tunis just, you know, read out those short little quips from practice. It just gives me tingles inside.
Oh, wait.
I love it.
All right, listen. We got the guys. You ready? Yeah. Here's your coach, Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman. Right now, brother, hold on and get your FanFest tickets.
When we started this offseason, you know, we have a tremendous opinion about Zach as a player, as a person. All he wants to do is play football, and he knows what kind of player he is. And I think, you know, when we look at last year, it was embarrassing for this organization and this team. And, you know, a lot of us have a chip on our shoulder. And when you talk about Zach, it doesn't take a lot to get him here. He cares so much about this team and this city. And, you know, just really good to see him out there.
Do you expect him to be on the roster opening day out?
Yeah, I think when you talk about the guys that are here and the kind of player that he is, and you think about our skill position group, young skill position group, and having a Pro Bowl player like that on your roster who players can learn from, it's huge. It's huge for us. And so, you know, I think that, again, just really excited to have him here and being out there today is huge for our football team, you know, as we get started.
Now, we have a player like that who has some history with the team that is well noted. How do you go about making sure that situation is stable going into training camp?
You know, we just want to get him out here and see what he can do in person, right? I've seen plenty of tape on Zach. And everything that he's done, and he's been such a good player in this league for so long. So, but we just are getting him here in person, seeing what he can do, and seeing how we can use him. You know, that's our job as coaches, to figure out how we can use each player and what we can do to take advantage of their abilities. And Zach's no different. So that's what we're doing right now, is seeing what we can do with him. Again, there's a lot of tape on him that suggests what we can do. And now it's just being out here coaching it and seeing what we can do in person.
Does Zach's presence box you in to play more 12 personnel?
No, I think Zach's presence makes you more multiple of what you can do, right? You have 11 you have your 11 personnel things. Now the defense has to prepare for all your 11 stuff. you have your 21 speed stuff that the defense has to prepare for, because you have these different pieces. Then they have to prepare for the 12 stuff. You might be running similar things out of each one of these sets, but out of different formations, out of different personnel groups, it looks completely different to the defense. So what we always talk about is if we are in 11, right? Because I think that's where you might be going. If we are in 11, who does things better? Who's better at this route? Who's better at this route? And it's a blend. It's always been that way. In fact, teams that I've been on have always had two good tight ends, and there was always a blend of how you use them and what you use them as. And then just that multiplicity of being able to use 12 personnel and be dangerous there. Yeah, it's different between, hey, it's 12 personnel because we got two tight ends, and 12 personnel because we got two tight ends, right, that can roll. And so it just puts a ton of stress on the defense.
Yeah, as far as Jalen Hurts goes, does he between guys in the first team and positions of competition? Will we see Joe Flacco as the first team quarterback at some point?
Well, right now, Jalen's in with the ones, and he's working with the ones, and he's earned that because he's worked his butt off, and we're hoping that he takes the reins and rolls with it and continues to just get good reps with the ones.
Some growth from Jalen. Are you working with his mechanics at all?
Hey, buddy. The growth where we want to see is just that acceleration in the offense, right? It's just getting better and more reps at the offense. This is the first time we've had 11-on-11 team period, right? So these are some of the first times he's run these plays. Now, maybe he's run a version of these plays, but there's some plays that he's never run before. So it's and that. We can't get enough of that, whether that's in the film room, whether that's on the field. He's just got to continue to take these reps. And I'm so confident in Jalen. He's a gym rat. He's just thinking about football all the time. That's what I love about him. And so he's going to use those mental reps, that's for sure. We just got to get him more reps out here on the field.
Are there things with his mechanics that adjust?
I don't mess a lot with a quarterback's. There's a couple things I talk about with quarterback finish, right? And it's just about finish. But the way they throw it, the way they're going to keep throwing it that way, it takes a long time before you can switch anything there. And I don't perceive him to have any issues up top. What we do with a quarterback is work at their feet. How do their feet correlate with the play, right? This is the drop with the play. The drop will tell you when the ball should be out as you read the defense. So we're as far as fundamentals with his feet, we're obsessed with it, and that's what we're doing. But that again comes into, you know, the reps on the field. He's got to get his feet in sync with each play, and that's what we're working on, being on the field and in the meeting room and individually.
As far as Jalen Hurts goes, this is kind of viewed as a prove-it year for him. I mean, are there any tangible benchmarks that you want to see him reach to say, yeah, he's our guy going forward into 2022?
Well, I think first at the quarterback position, you want to make sure you're doing everything possible to have that room successful. And so that starts up front. And when we look at our team this year and talk about what we're really excited about, it starts with the O-line. You know, I'm obviously part of our lack of success last year was the O-line and the injuries that they have. We have a lot of resources at that position. It's really important to us as we build our team. And you see today, you know, having Brandon out there with Lane on the right side, I mean, that's huge. And so if we could start with the offensive line and make sure that those guys are playing at a really high level, that's going to help everyone in the quarterback room. And then from there, talking about the skill position group. And so most of these guys, the receiver group, the running back group, besides Zach, the tight end group, those are young guys, you know? And so they get a chance to grow and build together, but it starts with the offensive line and making sure that we're looking ourselves in the mirror and saying, can we fairly evaluate the quarterbacks because of who's protecting them and the weapons they have around them?
But having said that, what's your level of confidence in Jalen right now?
Well, obviously, when we did a lot of work on Jalen coming out, we drafted him in the second round. And then you look at what he's done. We talk a lot of times about the jump from year one to year two. And this guy has done everything possible to put himself into a successful position with his work ethic, with his studying habits, with his leadership. And so I think for us, like Coach said, we're looking for him to grab the reins and go and follow him as it goes. Now, that all comes out here as we start practice and as we start the preseason and training camp.
Have you done homework on other quarterbacks who might be available?
Yeah, have we done homework on quarterbacks who may be available? I mean, we have a short list. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, how extensively have you looked into those options?
Well, I think our job is to always evaluate every option at every position. I mean, we're always constantly doing that and looking about what's going on in the league. And we do that before the draft. We look at next year's draft classes at every position and try to figure out the strengths and weaknesses. So, You know, that's what we're doing during this time period. We're watching tape on guys. We're looking at guys, and we're making sure that, you know, we're ready, one, in case of injury, and also for any position that trades become available, you know, being ready for that. I'm obviously not going to talk about anyone who's property of another team.
You got Steven Nelson late in the process. How did that come together? How long was he on your radar? How'd you
like that? Yeah, I mean, Steve became on our radar right when he was let go from the Steelers, and a lot of respect for him and who he is as a person and as a player. I mean, this guy is incredibly competitive and tough and instinctive, and I think this is another guy who sits there and goes, like, you know, why aren't I recognized as the kind of player that I am? I want to be recognized as the kind of player I am. I know that there's going to be a lot of attention on who's playing opposite Darius, and I embrace that. And I think as you got closer to camp, you know, some of it kind of goes, he really kind of figured out where he wanted to be and why he wanted to be there. And you can never have enough corners in this league. I mean, we saw it last year. Again, another position that, you know, we had starting guys that we got off the street. So I'm excited to have him here and be part of this team.
Nick, a few minutes ago, Howie talked about, you know, what happened last year, and it was embarrassing. And you're brought in, the team's kind of in this transition, but I'm sure you expect come week one to win. What are your expectations for this team as it is kind of in the transition? It is your first year. You're trying to see if Jalen Hurts can be the franchise player.
My message to the team is very clear. We attack every day. It's a climb, and we're attacking every day. And not only, and we like to even break it down further than that. We're not only attacking every day, we're attacking the little parts of that day, right? So the players right now are attacking rest. And the coaches, when we're done here, I'm going to go up with the offensive staff, and we're going to watch the tape, and we're going to attack the crap out of that, out of the film. And then we're going to attack the meeting room. Right. And then we're going to attack the walkthrough, and then we're going to attack the meeting room again. And it's just, it really is just a climb, and just trying to get a little bit better each day. Cause we know if you can do that, the gains that you can make, and what I'm saying to you is no different than the message I'm saying to the team. The gains that you can make when you go in and think about each and every day that you're going to work and each and every period you're going to work, your gains can be huge. And so that's all our goal is just to try to get better, a little bit better each with each thing that we're doing. And so the gains, by the time we get to that first game, we're ready to roll.
Do you have a win total in your mind of saying, hey, this is going to be successful for me? This is going to make me successful.
I don't think that's a, yeah. Some team would be good. No, but that, you know, again, when you follow the process of what I'm talking about, that takes care of itself. You see, and that's a great question, because you see every year that a team starts 1-3 and they make the playoffs. And you see every year that that team starts 3-1 and they fall off. Why is that? In my experience and what I've been around with good teams is because they either stick to the process and they overcome the bad start or whatever it is, or a lull in the season or whatever it is, the adversity, or they don't stick to the process and they fall off. And that's what we're trying to do, is just every single day work at those five core values of getting better at those, because we know that will take care of itself.
You said that your first year in Indy,
yeah,
right?
Well, yeah, we did. We had that our first year in Indy. We started off 1-5. We came up to Philadelphia. We got our butts kicked, and we ended up railing off 9 out of 10. And that was a great example from Frank Reich to me of, hey, Frank, you got the whole organization like, what are we going to do? Coach, we're looking at you. What are we going to do? And he said, I'm doubling down. Right? I'm doubling down. This is the process that we believe in. This is what we're going to do. This is the common denominator of good teams. We're going to stick to that. We're going to double down, and we're going to go.
Chris.
Real quick, just can you describe the atmosphere today? First time in front of fans, pretty much in over a year. Just what was it like for the first training camp practice?
Yeah, that was nice to have the fans back out, especially for training camp. It felt like training camp again, right? Instead of just, you know, you just being there yourself. Now, it's important as a team that you don't care who's in the stands, right? You don't care if you're practicing on a parking lot, if you're practicing on the playground, if you're practicing on these fields, if there's 100,000 people there, it doesn't matter. Again, it's that same process. But it was cool to have them out there. I think that everyone kind of got going and felt that out there from them.
And Chris, like, let's be honest, like, not having fans last year was a different experience. And when teams come in, and you hear this from all the people we talk to on different teams, people don't want to come into the stadium. People don't want to come to Philly because they know it's going to be a hard day's work with our fans and that environment that we have over there. And so it's exciting to think about getting that back how much this city and our fans are part of this team. That's a big thing that we're looking forward to having back.
Hey, guys, I got a question. Are McLeod and Dickerson on pace to be back by week one? And is Isaac's injury one that could stretch into the season?
I think that's something we just take day by day. Not going to give a timetable on any injury. I think that puts unfair pressure on everybody involved there. Again, they just have to attack that rehab like we're attacking the practice field right now. They're getting the mental reps. Mentally, there's no doubt they'll be ready, and we'll just see how their bodies react.
We saw a lot of 2019. We saw a lot of 2019, 2020 draft picks running with the ones today. I guess for various reasons, but how do you see that? Is that something you want to give those guys the opportunity to win those jobs, or do you feel like they've earned it at this point?
Yeah, I think when you're going through training camp, and we discussed this, at the end of the day, you want to see as many reps as possible so you're making the right decisions before you start the season. And, you know, our goal is to put together the best roster we possibly can, and where they come from isn't as important as putting together the best possible team. And so, you know, we never want to lose credibility by putting guys out there that aren't ready to play just because of their draft status or the free agent status. And all because coach can't talk about competition on the team. And then they're watching the tape, too, and they're going to see the results. Now, I think what you'll see from the coaches, what they describe to us as a personnel staff, as a front office staff, is that there are going to be a lot of combinations of guys. So don't read too much into what's going on now, as opposed to we got a month here to prepare for the season and to make sure we got the right guys in the right spots.
All right, you got John in the back. We got two more questions. Time for two more.
Nick, if they want to practice, seeing red zone heavy, circling jaws, is there a message behind that? Is there?
No, it's just, you know, last year we had some things that we got to go through to see the health of the team. We have some guys here, you know, with our strength staff and our training staff led by Tom, Dr. Arsh, and Ted Rath that, you know, they're the experts at, you know, how we ease guys into things. And I don't want to say ease into it because we were rolling down there. I mean, you saw how we were going. But, you know, just to make sure the health of the team, like availability is the best ability, right? So we just need to make sure that we're doing the right things to keep the team healthy. That's the why behind why we start in the red zone. So we weren't pulling up and throwing goal balls and trying and pulling muscles there. So we're just doing what we're just taking the information and the education that we're getting there and making and Howie are trying to make the best decisions as possible to keep our team healthy.
Back to the tent.
Hey, Nick, do you have a timetable in mind for when you'd like to name a starting quarterback by? Is it truly an open competition? And is there a chance, barring injury, that Jalen Hurts could not get a start?
We play Atlanta, so we got to be ready by Atlanta to have all the ones named and all the twos named. So no, nothing in mind of as far as when we got to make these decisions. They'll play out as we go, right? With these practices, like it's just great to get out there and practice. We're going to be able to go in there and make the corrections and make and praise the things that went well. And, you know, and set the standard so they can see it. So again, those will play out. Just really excited to work with Jalen and Joe and Nick. I think a lot of teams in this league would be thrilled to have that quarterback, that quarterback room that we have with the veteran leadership and then the playing experience that the guys have. So no timetable, just really excited to work with the guys.
We'll go to the front row, maybe have one time for one more.
Howie, following up on the quarterbacks, you guys have been linked to one specific quarterback pretty consistently. It's leaving some uncertainty, at least in the public view, as to where Jalen's standing is on the team, whether you guys are going in a different direction. I know that you can't talk about a specific player on another team, but can you address kind of Jalen's standing and exactly how you guys are operating in respect to looking at quarterbacks?
Well, I think we talked about Jalen and how he's done everything possible off the field and during the spring practices to take the reins. And we want to see him do that. You know, I think this is a big year for any player who goes from year one to year two. And so we're excited to see that and see his growth and working with the ones. And hopefully that happens. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I always find kind of funny is that whenever there's a name bandied about, the Eagles are kind of associated with that, you know, and I understand, because we have more draft picks, high draft picks going forward, that's probably going to be continual as players become available. But, you know, we draft these guys for a reason. We're really excited about the development of them. And excited to start practice here.
Last one, Martin.
Nick, you guys, obviously with Steven Nelson and Zach Ertz is still here and everything and all the other veterans, how much of a presence does that help, you know, as far as, like, getting the young guys to buy into your system? And were you able to see some of that today?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think, like, I'm going to talk to the team tonight about the importance of studying tape and how to kind of take the tape, make the corrections, and not make the mistake again. And so we're going to have a long talk about that tonight. And one of the second point of what we talk about in this tape is, how are you learning from the – we have all this great – you know, we have Pat Dolan, who's a great video coordinator, he's got all this tape for us, right, in this league. And so there's all this tape out there for us to study the greatest, right? We can go back. We can look at Lynn Swann. We can look at Jerry Rice. We can look at all these great players' tape and study from them. Well, not only can we do that, we have these players in place on this team that have won so many football games here that have done it at a high level. To have players like that, that not only now can you look at the greats of the past, now you can look at the greats of this organization and see, and not only can you watch their tape, you can get to the back, you can ask them the question, right? It's hard to get Jerry Rice on the phone. You can go to Zach Ertz and ask him the question, and Steve Nelson, ask him the question, hey, why'd you do this here? I saw the tape there. I'm going to make my footwork go this way. I'm going to do what you did right there when you attacked that DB like that, Zach. Why did you do it? Because when you get to the why, that's a greater form of learning. And your game only elevates even more from that because you understand. So great resource, you know, and it's a great resource to have Zach out here. I mean, I'm watching Zach out here run routes after practice just – And that's the common denominator of great players. They stay after, they work their butts off, they work harder than anybody else, and there's no secret why he's been good. And that's a great example for our young guys also.
I think the other thing, Martin, you know, when you're trying to build and continue to have a winning culture, like, it's not so easy to just draft players and say, we want you to do this and we want to see it from you. They need role models. They need to see people who've succeeded at a high level to be able to go in and not just ask their coaches, which are a great resource, but also to see players and watch their work ethic, watch what they've done on the field, ask them the questions that they're more comfortable from. And when you look at all the great teams in all sports, really, they always have that balance. It's hard to, and I think culture is a very overused word, but it's hard to set a culture if you don't have the examples. It's hard to do it with guys who are all going through the same thing for the first time. And so that's why we add some of these guys who have some of that experience, and we try to have guys in each room that blend in with that. And that's why some of our draft decisions are based on that too. Guys who've had success, who knows what it feels like to have the confetti fall on their head. We think that's important.
All right, guys. Thanks, folks. We got Fletcher on his way out right now.
Here it was. What do you guys think? Let's talk about it. We're going to get to a quick break. We'll come back, and then I want to hear what you guys thought. Again, it's blank. It's a blank whiteboard. What did you think of it? 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Wide open line, so you can fill them back up. And curious of what you thought. First training camp day, first news conference, Nick Sirianni, Howie Roseman, football season is here. Cause Radio Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
High noon across the Delaware Valley.
Hello.
First day of camp. Hi. What'd you think Got a lot of people chiming in. I got to tell you, listen, I liked hearing him talk about football, right? Like I did. I thought him talking about Hurts' footwork, you know, I agreed with it. Like, I agreed. Feet, so important. And I thought that was really smart. I think he knows the sport. I do. I get the sense that he is very well educated in the sport. Now, I didn't have a problem with anything. I know people are talking about the rights, you know, the little nuances, you know, whatever. Like, to me, somebody had a great point on Instagram. He said, you know, listen, thank God for the live news conference because Zoom makes it really tough. So I thought he sounded good. I thought it was good. I mean, you know, I didn't have any problem. I know the rights and the you knows and the likes. People are like, all right, enough of that. But that's right now. I don't care about that. I need more. I'm judging his football acumen, not acumen, but I'm listening for his football acumen, and I liked it. Thoughts?
Who really cares about likes and rights and you knows? Honestly, who cares?
Yeah.
And if you're looking for something to complain about. I'll straight up say, if whoever's texting you or tweeting you or Instagramming you, that stuff, you're looking for something to complain about.
Well, that's just, you know, that's bull breaking. You know,
I kind of want to see the guy coach a game before I break down his vernacular. You know what I mean? Like, let the guy be. And you're right. He seems like he really loves the game. He knows the game, that kind of stuff. And
that's why I phrased it the way I did.
It's a nice change of pace. You know, I like it. The guy's fired up. That's great. We saw all the reports from people that were covering the practice that he was very animated, that he was getting himself involved in the drills.
And
he loves football.
And here's the other thing. He ran a nice practice. Like, it was a good, hard practice.
Yeah, I heard it was a tough practice. It wasn't just,
I like
hey,
that.
We're out
I,
here, easy know, day one.
I'll tell you what, listen. I'm excited. I think that's all. Like I'm not. Again, I have no expectations. I'm not going to let the first day of camp, you know, sway me to anything. I will have the same attitude today as I will have going into the opener. That's it. You know, I want to see it. I want to be able to just analyze it. That's where I'm at.
All right. I think that's a good place to be.
And again, I'm going to say one more time. I liked some of his football stuff. I thought he's got a good plan for it. Like the idea of that quarterback, the feet is a big deal, man. Like I like detail and nuance.
And he's very detailed. I remember that clip we played. When he did the film studies about the no banana routes, right?
Man.
Like he loves football, man.
Yeah, I like that.
And one of the things he was really excited about at his introductory press conference, one of the things he was really excited about was because he's the head coach now and not just an OC, he can work with both sides of the ball. Like he's pumped about that. Go, all right, that's great.
Yes.
Not that I don't think Doug was involved with the defense, but you know how it kind of worked. He was the head coach of the offense, and Jim Schwartz is the head coach of the defense.
Yes.
And whatever Jim Schwartz said, they went with it.
Yes. Listen, I feel good. Like, I feel like I'm in a good place.
That's good.
That's it. I mean, nothing. I'm on high as a kite, soaring, Super Bowl. Just in a good place. I just want to enjoy myself. And I find him likable. Like, I find Sirianni likable. Forget about choices, who was your first choice, second choice, whatever it is. I find him likable and knowledgeable. And I go, I can get behind this dude.
As we should. Which is why when, like, his introductory press conference, when people were outraged, I didn't understand it.
Okay, well, you understand it. I mean, okay, well, I'll explain it to you. You're coming off of the situation where you came off of,
mm-hmm.
where the franchise quarterback the whole situation blows up.
Yes.
The coach who won the Super Bowl, forget how you feel about the guy. The guy won the Super Bowl.
Yes.
All right. There's been a lot of shakeup at the coaching situation. So you had Andy for all those years. And then all of a sudden you had Kelly come in. And, you know, he makes a playoff, he's going to reinvent the game. And then in a second, he's 5 minutes, he's out. Doug comes in, not anybody's choice, right? All of a sudden, wins the Super Bowl, strikes gold, wins the Super Bowl. Now, we all know what happened last year in the downward spiral. But all of a sudden, poof, it's out. So you've had all that change, all that upheaval. And here comes Nick Sirianni, who nobody knows about. And let's face it, he sounded Harry High School, and he sounded, you know, corny to start off. Oh, my God, he sounded young. All right? So that was what people were reacting to. Whether it was right or wrong is irrelevant. It's the situation and then the first glimpse. I mean, obviously, it was Zoom. But, you know, what are people supposed to think? He was Johnny Two Times, right? Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to say?
Get the papers.
He was. I mean, that's not, we didn't make that up. And he sounded very young and a little too, you know, a Harry High School is the way to put it. But why you don't, you know, make a rock solid judgment, you just react to it. That's human nature. But you give a chance, right? I reacted to it. I gave him a chance. I love the news conference today. I feel good about him. And he's a likable dude who I think is a very knowledgeable guy. I don't know what else to say other than he's a guy that I can get behind and like.
Yeah, and then we'll see who he is. But
I can't chastise people for reacting the way they did.
He was still reacting today to how he said "you know" too many times.
Okay,
come on. Let the guy speak.
I agree with you, but you can't. Listen, the fan base has been through a lot.
Yeah.
You also have to understand that.
All right, well, let's see if the guy can be a good head coach.
Well, all you're doing is saying what I'm saying, but I'm just showing leniency toward the fan base. You don't need to be, you know, stand in judgment. I'm just defending them to you. That's all.
I got you.
Are we clear?
No.
We're not, you still understand where I'm coming from, where they're coming from. Thank you. Let's go to Sagaroo. Sammy Sags, longtime ball coach. What's up, Sags?
Anthony, I'm ready to come out of retirement and play for this guy.
I love it.
All right, so let's talk about it. First of all, I'm right with you, bro. I love the feet thing.
Yes.
That
stood out to me.
That trainer had the worst feet ever. Okay. And I think if they straighten out his feet, Hurts is going to be fine, because I think all his inaccurate throws are because of the feet. And you know what? You can't discount leadership, and you can't discount the respect that these players might have for this kid. You think back to Jaws. Jaws wasn't a great quarterback. He had a great arm, but he wasn't a great quarterback. But what was he? He was a tough SOB, and he was a leader. And that team rallied around him. And you can't say enough for providing leadership. Okay? And you know what? That first press conference, throw it out the window. You know, when you're a ball coach, the only thing that happens, when you start coaching ball, that's what you judge a guy on. And I'll tell you what.
I agree.
This guy hit all the points. I loved his enthusiasm. You know, and you know what? You say it all the time, and I used to say it when I was a coach, that the team is going to take the personality of the coach, and that's what your team is going to be. And you know, after today, I think that people should have confidence in the guy, you know, and look, We might go 6-11, but I'm excited, man. I can't wait to see this kid run down the field and catch the ball. You know, I just hope our offensive line stays healthy. And if they do, I think he's going to do a good job with the offense. And you know, people say, "Well, he never called plays." Well, guess what? every coach that ever coached at this level never called plays before. Somebody had to give him a chance to call plays. And it might be, he's going to have growing pains. Everybody does, you know. And I had growing pains when I was a coach and I first started calling plays. But you just live with it for a couple of years. After 3 years, I think we're going to have something.
Yeah. I feel you. I do. To me, it's why my whole take today is, and this is just how I'm doing it. Everybody can do whatever they want.
That's right.
But how I'm doing it is I just go clean slate. Everybody, it's a new day. And it's the beginning of the journey. My expectations are none. I have none.
Exactly.
I think it's a building process. And I'm in. It's like 1999 over again when Andy Reid took over.
I want to thank you and Kunis. I just got out of the hospital. I was in the hospital for 4 days. Sags thought he was cashing in his chips with his heart.
Oh, no, Sags.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you guys kept me sane while I was listening to you in the hospital.
Sags, what's going on? Are you all right?
You know what? I got a little AFib, you know, but I thought I had blockages. And, man, I feel like a pincushion. They probed me and prodded me, but thank God I got no blockages. Just got to take some medication. Hopefully I'll be all right, but you guys got me through it, man.
Sags,
it was tough.
We love you, man.
Love you, brother.
Did you talk to Stevie?
No, I didn't.
All right. I referenced Steve Martorano, who I talked about earlier today, whom we love.
Yes, we do.
Shaggy, listen, be good. All right, brother? Watch yourself.
All right, brother. I will.
Lay off the super sod.
Right, see you later, brother.
See you, man. I think the same thing. Like, going into it, he's likable. I think he's knowledgeable. I feel good. Feel kind of, again. This is not about, you know, zero to the Super Bowl in this year.
No, it's not. And the one thing that I really want to keep an eye on is, can he, you know, handle the locker room and will guys? And I'm not saying this because I'm suspect of Nick Sirianni. There was a report, I think a very bogus report a few weeks ago, that some players are already out on Nick Sirianni. Some guy from the NFL Network. And it was a bogus report because a lot of players were like, who the hell's saying this? Because that's not true. But one of the things I'm going to keep an eye on is, does Nick Sirianni's personality, you know, sort of, does it jive with the players over a course of X amount of seasons? You know what I mean? Like, he's got a very passionate personality. And is he being so hands-on? Is that a good thing or a bad thing for players nowadays? You know what I mean? Like, it has changed.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So when I first heard the ankle biter, Dan Campbell, the head coach for the Lions, right? Like, he was very like, yeah, we're gonna bite ankles and all that kind of stuff. Like, are some of his players going, all right, dude?
Yeah,
Kneecaps, that's what it was.
We're going to bite your
kneecaps.
We're
going to bite your kneecaps, and then we're going to bite your other kneecap.
Yeah, but again, I didn't think that was a big deal. Like, I didn't think that was a problem either.
If I was a player for Dan Campbell, I'd have been like, what? So we're cannibals now.
Yeah, that's not the right attitude that you have.
No?
No, that's a sarcastic, you know.
We're gonna bite the other kneecap.
Yeah, but your reaction to it is like, oh, really? We're cannibals? Like, I hate that. I hate that response.
Okay.
All right? Listen, the dude wants to be tough physical football coach. I'm sorry if being tough is not good enough.
I'm asking you.
It's still football.
Okay.
It's still physicality. My God. I mean, the dude, like, seriously.
You and I just had a conversation two days ago about athletes nowadays. We didn't get into it on the air, but we just had that conversation.
Okay, but so the guy can't talk about biting the kneecap. You know what he's talking about. You know what he meant by it. I mean, seriously, you can't even have, there's no physical, it's a two-hand touch.
No, but I like that Sirianni is adamant on the sideline, but I wonder, does that eventually get old for players? We talk about how NBA coaches can't coach anymore.
But let me tell you something.
Is it the sport that different? I'm asking you.
But that's always been the case. The NBA, you know how many times guys, I go back into the 90s and dudes were thrown with towels. Somebody got a towel thrown in their face. Who was it? Danny Ainge? Somebody threw a towel in his face. Sabalos? It was like in Phoenix.
PJ Carlissimo got choked out.
I mean, seriously. Like the NBA was never, there was only a handful of coaches that had respect. Riley, Chuck Daly back in the day, Phil Jackson. You know, there was like a handful of dudes. Don Nelson, because he was like a hippy dippy, like yeah. cool, like he didn't care. Guy smoked weed. I don't really care. You know, like he was like kind of live, let live guy.
Which right.
I think was cool. But like there's guys that, you know, got respect. And then most of the league dudes went, what do you know?
Right.
Shut up. You know, that's the NBA. Football's different. Football always, players like that excitability. Like, he's into it. Like, I don't think that's an issue or a problem for today's player. I don't.
Okay, I'm not saying that it is. I'm curious to see.
I know you want to get rid of, like, any kind of words that connote toughness.
Well, who's saying I want to get rid of any words that connotes toughness?
You just said it. Oh, but you're mocking me. I'm sorry, we're cannibals now?
I made it. It was such a weird statement to make. Forgive me.
We're cannibals?
He wants to eat kneecaps. It's weird.
All right, Seinfeld.
Forgive me for finding eating kneecaps a little odd.
Dude, again, you know, who are you, the bro? Taking things literal?
No.
Yeah. We're cannibals. Come on, Holmes. Jeez.
I'm just asking the question.
Let the guy be together. Well, you're mocking it.
Yeah, I'm mocking Dan Campbell.
All right. Well, you be a coach.
Screw the Lions. Boy, what are you defending Dan Campbell for?
Because I'm defending.
They're the enemy, man.
What I'm defending is what he stands for. And just because the dude wants to play tough football, it's still football. It's still physical.
Yes.
I mean, my God, I don't even want to take the physicality out of everything.
Why did I say that?
You always do. I can't.
No, I don't.
I can't even come near you. Stop. We don't do that. All right. I feel like you're my father. I come in there. The Charlie's.
I'm sorry. I don't want to have bruises. Christ.
I let you hit me.
What? Oh, pound the backs now, violence.
Yeah, I'm expecting all of a sudden Chuck to come down and go, we have a complaint. Judas, give you a complaint.
Anthony!
let's talk about LaBruciano. That's right, my man Anthony. That's right, Anthony LaBruciano and his experts at LaBruciano Roofing Exteriors. Listen, hiring the wrong company to replace your roof, windows, or siding can be disastrous. Yeah, but not when you call Anthony LaBruciano, who was recently named the Contractor of the Year in the entire Mid-Atlantic by CertainTeed. That's like the MVP award. If your roof's looking tired, maybe has a small leak. That is my friend Charlie. Father Charlie said, look, dude, I'm moving back to South Philly. But the roof looks, I don't know, I'm worried about it. Call Anthony. That's it. Don't worry. He's the shingle master. You'll have an expert who's proud of every single job they do, including yours. Hundreds of five-star Google reviews. Contractor of the year. Trust me. Trust Anthony LaBruciano Roofing and Exteriors. Call 610-265-ROOF. Or you can go to paroofpros.com.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hello.
It's Big Pimpin', baby.
All right, 12:30 across the Delaware Valley, our 12 o'clock hour, is brought to you by Service First heating and air conditioning. Gotta go see Brian and his squad, man. They're gonna make your house, give you the cool you need, and in the winter the heat, and clean the air, man. The air. I've been enjoying my fresh air. It's amazing. ServiceFirstHVAC.com is where you go. Tunis. Jim for the Palm said Kobe Bryant wanted to cut their heart out. Would that make Kobe Bryant a murderer?
No.
All right. I just say, Jim for the Palm, very interesting. I want to rip your heart out. Would you be a mass murderer to do that?
Well, if he did it literally, yes.
Okay. Would that make...
Or he's sacrificing someone from Indiana Jones. That's what that guy did.
All right. So, no good on the sacrifice either? Are you on Team Bro here?
No, I'm still disappointed in the bro. Come up small.
We got to revisit this thing.
Yeah, because sports god called in said yesterday that it'll be 10 bad years.
Yeah, and I want to thank all of the people that have tried to volunteer to be the bro's,
Replacement?
His replacement, but it was more like they have come in to try to save the bro, volunteer, like my man Tasty Cake Tom. He said, I'll do it for the bro. And yesterday, one of the great listeners, really, really people have called up one after another, looking to replace the bro, Jim from Satterton. Jimmy, we love Jimmy.
Love Jim from Satterton.
Jim also volunteered, a great 4-for-4 man that he is. I mean, you know. But the bro can't step up. I want to have the trial tomorrow. But you know what the problem is? The bro's golfing. He's what? A despicable fella.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
What about the toe?
I don't know. Yeah, he can golf, but he can't run.
He's supposed to race Pat.
Yeah. You know what?
Now you had Jamie in the race.
Here's the thing. The bro has disappointed me so. I used to call him Gritty. You know why? Because I found him lovable like Gritty. But now, as I think about the bro and I think about Gritty, I would delete the GR and replace the SH. That's who the bro is.
Wow.
Would you agree with that?
No, I can't go SH.
That's not his acting? He has not acted... Spitty? You don't think so?
No, I mean, listen, he is going to be the reason why there's 10 bad years of sports.
That's not
true.
The definition.
That's a good point.
What is, Tunis?
That's a good point.
So, here's the thing. Where are we at with Nick? Some good positive reviews. I like it.
Yeah, he was great. He's great, and I why I go back to day one where I go, all right, well, okay, he sounds a little strange when he talks, but I don't know. He clearly loves the game. I know he's young compared to other head coaches, but he has been around the game for a pretty long time now. He's bounced around and he's gone from, remember we had Field Yates on from ESPN.
Yes.
When Sirianni first got hired. And I understand that they're friends. So obviously Field Yates was going to say nothing but good things about Sirianni. He wasn't going to say anything negative. But he talked about how Sirianni went from...
Actually, I thought he was spot on, too, to be honest with you.
He went from the scouting department to the offensive side of things. But even though he was done with the scouting department... where did they start? Kansas City, I think it was. Even though he was done with the scouting department, he still hung out with the scouts to learn what the scouts were watching on tape. Like, what were you looking for on film that made you select this guy or not select that guy? And Sirianni learned that side of thing. Then he hung out with defensive coaches.
That's right.
Like, that's what a head coach does.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we talk about Matt Rhule all the time. Matt Rhule knows both sides of the ball.
And you know what he did early on in his career? Well, he spent a year with the Giants as an O-line coach.
Correct.
he was really came up as a defensive coordinator with Temple. Like, he was on the defensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He then goes to the Giants, works on the as an offensive line coach.
Didn't he work with tight ends, too?
Yes.
Okay.
Then he was an assistant. Then he comes back to Temple, D.C., right? Then head coach, and then he does his thing. Baylor, now Carolina. I mean, that's that, and he's a true leader. Like, he's got his coordinators and the whole thing. Listen, I think Nick came across well. And here's the thing that Sags said, Sammy Sags, one of our callers, that I thought was dead on. It is true that you take the personality of your coach. So if he's an excitable dude.
Fiery guy.
Really into it. I mean, what's wrong with that? I got no beef with that.
No, I got nothing wrong with it. I mean, that's why part of the reason why, going back to the initial hiring process, I was really big on Robert Saleh, who is now the head coach of the Jets, because okay. He's a fiery defensive guy.
Yeah.
And
I like Saleh too, which is weird because you're all like anti Dan Campbell, but he's basically Robert Saleh, the same dude.
No, I mean, sometimes it's just the, you know, we talk about players nowadays and can a coach get old? For some players.
Can I be real? Can I be completely...
Please, I want you to be real.
I try to be 100% keep it real.
Yes, so I want you to be real.
Okay. So, when you said that, all kidding aside, when you said, well, we're not accountable, I actually was pained. You know why?
Why?
Because, like, everybody knows what he meant. Like, I know it went viral, and people are like, look at the football guy. Look at the maniac football guy, like he's a zoo animal, and everybody mocked him and poked fun at him because he's man's man, who's a state caveman, and it bothered me.
Okay,
you know why? Because I looked at it and said, wait a second. All he wants, listen, the game is what it is. I mean, there is still a physicality about the game. So, all right, well, maybe it's not 2021 quotation marks, right? All right. Well, what's wrong with it? Like, why you got to mock the dude?
I just found the comment weird.
But it's the same. It's why the analytics people run amok. Because it's their narrative. The analytics narrative is, well, the football guy's an idiot, so it's for me, the Harvard guy, to come in and tell the Neanderthal what to do.
Yeah, but you know how I feel about the analytics stuff. Well, I'm out on it.
You feed right into the. I'll go right with it. The 2021 narrative.
That
the football guy or the sports guy is antiquated, dummy. While the numbers guy, analytic guy, is the true intelligent being.
I'm just wondering, is over-the-top stuff like biting kneecaps?
I mean, stop. He was just over-the-top.
What I'm saying is if that continues, right, you're not telling me that there's not going to be players in the locker room that are like, all right, this guy's kind of weird.
All right. I mean, if that's how you feel, weird. You know what he meant.
Yeah, but you get players nowadays. All right, dude, chill out with the biting kneecaps.
Well, you might say that. I don't know. I know a lot of players. I don't know if players who have that.
I might be wrong. I brought it up. It's something that I want to keep an eye on.
All right. Just you get my point, right?
Yes, I get your point.
By the way, Flyers made a move. Backup goalie. You ready? Martin Jones.
All right.
Flyers backup goalie for $2 million. Martin Jones. That's not bad. All right? Were you Martin Jones?
Yeah, I see. I saw people tweeting that he's not the greatest.
Sharks?
Goaltender.
No, I mean, who are you going to get? $2 million. He had 3.28 goals against... an 896 save percentage. Now, again, bad defensive team and playing out west. You're going to go against the Lance. And,
yeah, I get it. I'm going to miss the Moose, man.
Okay.
He was a quality backup.
He was a great backup.
He was fantastic. He signed with Tampa today.
He was a great backup. But, you know, listen, it's all in the kid. It's about the kid. The kid better be able to handle it.
Here's the thing. He signs to Tampa for less than $1 million. The Moose.
Yeah.
I don't know what the reasoning is. I'm sure, you know, Chuck Fletcher will be asked about it. I don't know, like, why wouldn't you go with the Moose for another year? It's not like he was bad last year for a year. Oh, we got to move on.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
I wonder why. Oh, he may have just chosen Tampa.
Yeah. Maybe.
You know what I mean? Let me try to go get a cup.
Yeah, maybe. So, but just keep the circle back, and then I want to get back to the phone lines at 610-632-0975. We got plenty of open lines, which is shocking to me on the first day of training camp. I'm quite frankly stunned. But I want to ask you about this football thing. Like, is that baldy? Like, we did the meat locker. It was really supposed to be ironic, right? Like, it was supposed to be a play off of it. You know, it wasn't meant to be literal. Like, we understand. But it was also a kind of a thumb in the nose at, like, oh, God forbid, you know, you talk about hitting somebody and it's football. Like, you're a bad person.
Well, see, here's the thing. I don't want you saying that I feel that type of way, because I don't. I'm upset how much they protect quarterbacks nowadays, right? You accidentally, your pinky touches their helmet, and it's a personal foul 15 yards, and that drives me crazy. You can't hit a guy over the middle of the field because they say he's a defensive player, but sometimes it looks like they made a football move and turned up field, but they're calling that a penalty nowadays. Like, there's a lot of things about the game of football that they are... And I get why they're protecting the players, right? There's a lot of information out there about CTE. So, I don't want people thinking that I'm okay with guys getting knocked out in games. But, like, remember the, was it Clemson and Ohio State? The safety got kicked out of the game because he lowered his head.
Yeah.
But he tried avoiding the helmet-to-helmet contact with, I think it was Justin Fields, because that's when he got
hurt.
Hurt his back on that play.
Yes.
But Justin Fields actually moved into the helmet.
Right.
The guy led with his shoulder, but Justin Fields moved into the helmet, and the guy got kicked out of a national championship game.
Yeah.
And that drove me crazy.
Right.
Because that's like, yo, guys, come on. He even tried the proper form, but because Justin Fields jumps into the helmet, the guy gets automatically ejected and they get 15 yards. That drives me crazy.
Yeah.
So it's not that I'm against guys getting hit and tough practice. I'm not against, you know, Oklahoma drills. I like all that kind of stuff. My thing is, I wonder if coaches nowadays, we talk about how players run leagues. And I wonder
if the NFL is different than the NBA. I mean, I would expect you to understand that. I mean,
it is for sure, because NBA players literally run the league.
Right. They have all the right, wrong, indifferent, however how you feel. That's a fact. It's a players league. The NBA is run by the players. The NFL is not run by, it will never be run by the players, because there's 53 players on a roster.
And there's always another guy ready to play.
There's always guys in his injuries. And the way the whole thing is set up, it's always going to be the league. And the coaches will always wield a lot of power.
But I just wonder, so Doug Peterson, what did we always say? Part of the reason why he was a Super Bowl winning head coach and had success here, I know it didn't end out well, but he had success here, was because he was definitely a great locker room guy. And Chip Kelly was not a great locker room guy. And look what happened. That thing fell apart, and then he goes on to San Francisco, gets two wins, and he's out of the NFL.
Yeah, I'll still tell you, the reason why Chip Kelly failed most of all is he didn't know the talent in the NFL. I mean, listen, was he a J.O.? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right? Did he play favorites? Yeah, he was all that. He was a prickly fella.
You went to Oregon? Right. Welcome to the Eagles.
Like, he was a prickly fella. He was. But the reason why he failed was, hey, let me get rid of LeSean McCoy and replace him with DeMarco Murray.
Right,
not understanding who fits his offense. And the fact that you can't bleed your defense the way he bled his defense. I mean, I remember Billy Davis was getting crushed around here. It's like, yo, dude, what's he supposed to do?
Right. Yeah.
I remember talking to Spags, and at that point, he was in transition and saying, dude, he needs a defensive coordinator. Do you want to do it? And he was like, nah, man. He's like, listen.
Yeah, because he always put his team in a bad spot.
Like, do I want to take over that? That's a job that's doomed, like, to fail. You're doomed to fail.
There were times where the Eagles would run 12 plays offensively for a total of, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm not saying 12 plays in one series. I'm saying 12 plays in three series.
Yes.
If they went three and out, two straight series, that's a matter of what? A minute and 30 seconds that probably ticked off the clock. And the NFL, the defense had to go back out there. But I just wonder, like, how many coaches, there's still the Belichicks of the world. I get it. But how many coaches need to be almost friendly with their players? I know people gave Sirianni crap for wearing the Brandon Graham t-shirt during the spring workouts. I thought that was a good thing because he's trying to connect with his players.
I thought the same thing.
There were people that were upset about it.
Nah, like to me, I looked at it like a positive.
Yeah, that's how I looked at it.
I thought it was smart. Listen, you're still the boss, but you want to make sure you're working with guys.
Right.
Right. You're a coach. So you're, you know what? You always did right attitude. And this is a lesson, a leadership lesson. People don't want you to say, you work for me.
Right.
Right? Like, they don't want that. You empower people by saying, you work with me. Like, in fact, our guy Chuck.
Yes.
He does that. Nah. I'm not your boss. We just work together. We work with each other for a common goal.
Right.
I mean, I respect that. Listen, I'm your coach. But we're working together. That's just my role. And, you know, like I may tell you, and I'm not going to order you. I'm not giving you orders. It's not the military, right? Where, you know, if you don't do what I say, people die, right? This is the workplace. I need you to do a certain thing. Let's discuss in that way. And there should be a modicum of respect where you know who the guy is. You still, just because he doesn't need to bark it at you. Show him the respect that he deserves, and he'll show you the respect. I mean, I think that's a productive environment.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, I love what Chuck's doing. You're right.
No, but I'm talking about it in any workplace.
Right.
And on a football team as well. Like, if you're Brandon Graham, you'd have been through the wars, right?
You see a guy rocking your t-shirt, you go, all right, it's nice.
Well, right. And you also know that, you know, he's showing me some respect, and I appreciate that the man showed me respect.
Right.
And it's smart for Sirianni to ingratiate himself with the veterans, especially since that he's a young guy.
New head coach, yeah.
Inexperienced, young, the whole thing. So here's the biggest thing. I think he's a football junkie. So the football junkie, I love that about him. But I know he's going to unearth things and look under rocks, and he's not jaded.
Right.
Like, that's part of the youth that I like. Like, I don't need my coach to be, you know, 65 years old.
And that's what...
I mean, I'm not against it, but I'm not, you know, I just look at him and go, I'm going to take his youth as a positive.
Right, and that's what I wanted when they did the coaching search. Now, I just said it. I wanted Robert Saleh, but I wanted Saleh to then bring in some young offensive mind as the offensive coordinator.
Well, I don't mind if the guy's older, or I wasn't looking for that. Like, you
no,
are.
But no, but I
was like Joe Brady. That was it.
Right. But I was looking for new and, you know, inventive, right? Doug Peterson's offense is very stale.
Yeah, but Doug's offense was stale because that was Doug. Andy's offense is not stale.
No, it's not stale.
And Andy's older than Doug.
Right, but Andy wasn't available. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but my point to you is that you should never, that's a mistake you just had. You should never put people in boxes. Young guy equals innovative offensive guy. Like, never go on preconceived notion.
Right. Well, I do think Andy Reid's innovative. He wasn't available.
Right, but you just said, I want a young offensive guy. Just admit it.
Fight
me on it.
No, I mean, you're right. But older?
What if Bruce Arians was around? All right, perfect example. Who was it from the Colts? He got sick. He coached Peyton Manning.
Oh, I was with you on that one. I wanted him. What the hell was his name?
Hold on. But like, if Sirianni went with him as his OC, that works?
No, it works. No, I was with you. I'm trying to remember what it was.
I had a brain cramp. All right. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. First day of Eagles camp. And I'm shocked, quite frankly. It's too quiet. What are you guys thinking, man? It's the day of training camp. Like, I want to go back to Lehigh and the phone line. Everybody's excited. I need Eagles. Where's the militia? Where are you guys at all over the country and the world on the first day of camp? How are we feeling, man? 610-632-0975. It's Cuz Radio Chunis. Look, we're all in this together. And now's the perfect time to get healthy. NJ Diet will help me get healthy and slimmer for this summer. That's it. It takes 40 days. That's it. Only 40 days. Go smart and lose 20 to 40 plus pounds. Their contractually guaranteed program starts with bioenergetically personalized supplements based on your hair, saliva, blood work. Then NJ Diet uses DNA testing to create your ideal diet plan and workout regimen to help you keep the weight off for the rest of your life. Not sure you can do it alone? NJ Diet's with you every step of the way. You're fully monitored by their certified staff to make sure you're burning fat and not just losing water. You'll also have access to the doctor's personal email and phone number. NJ Diet is committed to you keeping the weight off. It's all natural. No shots, no hormones, no surgery. NJ Diet offers live online video consultations from home or go to one of their locations in King of Prussia or Cherry Hill. Call them 855-5NJ-DIET. That's 855-5NJ-DIET. Log on to NJDiet.com. Go to NJDiet.com and lose the weight for good.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, there's Connor. In for the Mikey Miss Show. Hello, Connor. My man T. Will asked me a good question yesterday.
What's that?
Is Harper Abreu like a level ball player? Bobby Abreu was a hell of a ball player.
Yeah, I don't think he gets enough love here, Bobby Abreu. But what is the context in terms of not getting enough love? Or
he said he watched him on the inside the park home run and thought he was Bobby Abreu. He had flashes of Abreu, which I thought was interesting.
I mean, nobody should be upset if he's Bobby Abreu. He's a hell of a he was a hell of a ball player. It's funny that you mentioned Abreu. I actually have one of the home run calls was a Bobby Abreu home run.
Are you serious?
From yesterday.
And oh, we gotta do that. Damn it, I forgot.
Well, it's training camp day. I figured we would not do it today.
Damn. It's because Friday, the other day, yesterday, instead of doing all the home runs, I got involved with the bro. That's sticking bro.
Yeah, I figured I wouldn't even bring it up today because I knew today was training camp day. Plus, the Phillies lost yesterday, so it's not like the hype was really there. If they win today, tomorrow would be a more fun day to do it. But I do have a Bobby Abreu call, and it's also an inside the park home run.
Really? Let me hear it. That's what T-Well was referencing.
And it was a walk-off inside the park home run.
Pretty well hit to center field. And it is off the glove of Murray. Watch Bobby. It could be an inside the park home run. Vukovic is waving him on.
Oh, man, I can hear Harry anytime. Oh, yeah, my God. That's all. Danny on the text board goes, wow, that's empty numbers. Oh, hey, I think Abreu, I agree with you. I think Abreu got.
He wasn't on good teams.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of guys around him, too. Listen, at the end, was it, did he need to go? Yeah. All right, I'll agree with you. But that, you know, he was a skilled ball player.
Yeah, I know people had problems with him in terms of where he did and didn't want to bat in the order. I don't see Harper doing that. I see Harper's batted all over the place for this team.
Right. I don't think T. Will didn't mean it in a bad way, in a negative way.
He meant it as watching the guy play. Yeah,
that's, yeah, so he saw the inside the park home run and had a flash, which was that play.
Yeah, I look at it and I go, if he's Bobby Bray, that's pretty good. He was a 300 hitter.
Yeah, I mean, do I want a little more? Yeah,
yeah, of course. Because Bobby wasn't getting $330 million.
Exactly. Let's go to Aaron. Aaron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Aaron.
What's going on, man?
What's going on, baby?
Hey, man, I'm excited, man. You got to get excited. It's the beginning of training camp.
Yeah.
You know, it's the birds, man. I think because on the airwaves, it ain't been too much talk because it's been negative about the birds. So, you know, people ain't excited about it, but I'm excited. I like the head coach.
I don't think it's negative. I just think it's, you know, realistic.
Realistic, but, you know, we don't understand it until we see it to say, you know, like it's going to be this kind of season. You know,
well, you
I've been around
do.
Long enough to see bad seasons in football. And I was always excited.
Right. You know what I mean? The point is you can still be excited. Yes.
And my team is playing. And I kind of like this coach. I like this coach, man, because I don't have to get on. Even if it's quirky, even if he's saying something that we don't, you know, we try to put together. He's saying giving us some hard nose and stuff. Oh, I got to look at film or I got to do, you know, we had some dead coaches in the city that gave you nothing. So if somebody give you something now, it's like, oh, we got to critique it. But we had some coaches that gave us absolutely nothing when they talked. Buddy Ryan gave you something. Ray Rhodes gave you something. After that, man, Dick Vermeil gave you something. These coaches ain't really give you nothing to hang your hat on and say, what are you talking about? Oh, well, you know, they were talking all kinds of crazy stuff that ain't have nothing. You know, that's how it seems to me. At least I know this cat is talking about football, talking about competition, talking about, you know, I want these guys to compete, going out running and talking to Travis Fulgham if you're not doing something right. You know what I mean? I like that kind of stuff. He's bringing energy into football, which is shit we should have anyway, instead of just laid back. You know, let's see what's going to happen. I want some youth. I want somebody talking about, you know, what's going to happen. And, you know, I see, I hope you can see. That's what I'm getting from this guy. I kind of like this guy already.
All right.
You know what I mean? Do that make sense to you? That
nah, not at all.
No, tell me why it didn't make sense.
None of it made sense to me.
I just didn't
understand it.
Tell me why it didn't make sense.
I don't understand what you mean. Like, these other guys didn't talk football. I don't know what you mean.
Okay, because
I mean, you want to be real.
When Doug Peterson talked, did you understand everything that Doug Peterson was saying when he was talking? No, I was like, what are you talking about sometimes on this play or whatever? Even in training camp, he ain't give you too much. You know, so he's giving you stuff, and we critique the stuff that he gives us.
All right.
That's all I'm trying to say.
I'm just being real with you.
I'm not in critiquing what you say. Sometimes I don't understand what you're saying, but I don't critique it. I'm just trying to learn and see what you're saying. You know what I mean? And when talking, I can say some stuff, and you'd be like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, no, listen, I don't mean it in a bad way. I love you. So, I wouldn't show you respect if I said, yeah, I get it, when I go, I don't get it. So, I'm being real with you.
But later on, you might get it. You might be saying, what he said made some kind of sense.
All right.
So that's where I'm at in life, man. I'm too old to be trying to figure everything out.
I can dig
one
it.
Little, as soon as you say something out your mouth, I got to just sit back and say, you know, maybe he said something that I understand, even though it's kind of crazy.
You got it.
Yeah. I give people a chance like that, man.
We got zapped. I'm sorry. I got zapped, Aaron.
Love Aaron.
Me too.
But the room's kind of spinning right now.
Yeah, I listen, here's what I took from it. He's a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
I think that's what I took from Aaron's statement, that he was a breath of fresh air. He got in some, you know, some philosophies with Hurts. I mean, let's be real. I mean, he's not giving you a ton because there's not really a ton to give.
No.
Right? Like, all right, yeah, you know, what's here to say? Like, I can't. Like, there was a stupid question that was asked. Like, a ridiculously dumb question. Is there a win total that you hold to?
Yeah, that you would consider success.
And I actually liked the way Sirianni answered it. He went, yeah, 17. I mean, how stupid of a question was that? Like, is there a win total there, coach, that you would say this is a success? Like, dude, I just took over this team. It's a whole new roster. I got a little quarterback. What a win total. Do you think Sirianni sits around going W's and L's?
I love the best part about it not being Zoom anymore is that because it used to be like, all right, Tim McManus and then Jimmy Kemsky, right? And then Tim would ask his question and then go, Jimmy Kemsky and then Zach Berman. Now it's the scrum again, right? Where all guys are, oh, coach. And there was like three people trying to ask a question at the same time, and they picked this guy, whoever it was. And he, how many wins do you expect this year to be considered a success? Really? That's what you, all right. Like there's guys that thought it was their turn to ask the question, and they lost it because of the win total.
That was bad.
Like, come on, dude.
It was, I tell you one thing, it was a spirited news conference. You had all the reporters in a row. Hello, Mika. Hello.
They interrupted Howie. Howie wanted to answer the same question. And somebody would jump right on top of Howie.
I know. Yeah, dude, good. Win total. Who asked that question?
I don't know. I'll do some research.
That was bad. You got to get called out on that, Holmes. Win total. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, John.
Oh, guys.
What's up, brother?
Not much. So I forget who asked the question in the press conference, but it was somebody asked, like, why, like, is there a reason why, like, a lot of rookies and draft picks and stuff like that, low man on the totem pole players are getting reps in the first and second team drills and everything. And I kind of feel like Howie's answer to that question was kind of passing the blame from previous years to Doug Peterson and not admitting his faults when he said, oh, well, we don't care regardless of where you're drafted or how much is invested in this in a player. Mm-hmm. We believe that everybody has a chance to, get a starting position or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
The Fulgham thing?
Right, so you go back to Fulgham and Craig Ward and whoever else. Yeah. And just in previous years, I feel like Doug's hands have been tied where he's wanted to play players and he's gotten basically...
Maybe. I don't know. I honestly, I don't know. Maybe. Could be. Or did Doug recognize the talent? I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe that's part of the reason why he left. He felt like his hands are tied. I have no idea. You know? But you could be right, you know? I mean, it could certainly be that. One thing is he's got to answer the question like that, you know? Like, you have to at least – here's what I'm looking at. I'm going to hold everybody accountable when we look at this team. Let's try – if things are back to normal, right, for the most part, and I think you got to look at it. That's why I give the blank slate, right? Like, this way we can see. What about so-and-so? And it's going to be a lot harder. Like, he have to answer questions now because it's an in-person press conference. So it's going to be a lot less dodging.
I agree. It just, like I said, I just thought it was kind of funny how...
Yeah, he might have been doing
all
that.
These players, we always ask questions over the previous years. Why haven't they been on the field? And all of a sudden now it's... okay, you know what I mean? Like, it just, it made no sense to me.
Yeah.
And why now?
Yeah.
Like, why now?
Well, I think that's the way I think that question gets asked, and you have to answer it that way. Like, what are you supposed to say? Like, if you're Howie, how would you answer it?
I probably would have said, listen, we've made mistakes in the past with certain players where we should have given them the opportunity, and it's come back to bite us and maybe cost our team some wins or whatever, and we're not trying to make that mistake again. That would have been like from a fan perspective, that would have been like, okay, Howie, you just admitted you were wrong and you're trying to do something different.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. I think it's good. I like that. It's a good answer, John. I like you at the podium. It was good stuff, man. Yeah, are you excited? Like, are you? How do you view it? Are you like? Because to me, it's just about football, right? It's less. I don't have any expectations. Nothing. I'm just pumped. It's football.
At the end of it, I had hope, and that's all I was really looking for. Like, I'm not expecting us to light the world on fire this year, but I mean, if we, I believe 4 or 5 wins. But if we can get 6, 7, 8, I mean, I would consider that a huge success, and that's a great start.
Yeah, I just want to see them improve. I wouldn't even look at it wins. I just want to see them kind of improve. I'm with you, brother. It's a great call by you, John. Your podium, right, John.
I think the season depends on our trenches this year.
Yeah, I agree there. Thanks, buddy.
Now, here's one thing on the flip side of what John was talking about regarding players getting opportunities and not getting and losing opportunities because of the status of other guys. I found it interesting that Andre Dillard was the number one left tackle today over Jordan Mailata. When I thought Mailata didn't, again, it's day one of camp, so I'm not going to overreact to anything. But it is interesting, and it goes back to my concern from Howie last year. You know how I felt about Howie, and I thought he made a lot of game day decisions with rosters. The Dillard thing, what you saw on tape the year he first came in for Jason Peters, and what you talked to with, I remember Baldy talked about it, right? He wasn't all that impressive. Everyone talked about how great Jordan Mailata was last year. Is it a Howie Roseman special to go, hey, Andre's our first round pick. I don't want it to look bad that we have another first round pick that's not working out for us, so we have to get him with the ones. Is there a chance that that's true?
I guess. I mean, Andrew, I don't know.
Because I saw Mailata last year play well at left tackle.
Yeah, you've always...
He had some moments where he didn't look great.
You've always overrated. Listen, I prefer Mailata. Like, I like him a lot. No, I do.
I'm not saying he's all fair, but between him and Dillard.
But here's the flip side of what you just asked. If I'm Howie, I go, yeah, well, guess what? How smart am I that the future left tackle was a project that I picked?
Yeah, but Howie Roseman has missed on more first-round draft picks than he has hit on, sleepers. Later round picks, dude, project.
Trust me, he's not looking at that. Sleepers versus first round picks versus second round pick. He's not looking at that. He's looking at, hey, did I fix the issue of left tackle? Yeah, I did.
Well, then why was Diller run with the ones today?
Because obviously they want to give Diller, they didn't love, what, they didn't see exactly what you saw out of Mailata.
Okay.
And they want to give Diller a shot. I don't know, maybe they see Dillard and they like Dillard for some reason. I don't know.
I'm just saying to the flip side of what John was saying, I don't know if that's done yet where they're giving some guys opportunities just because of status.
Holmes, I don't know, dude. I just go, like to me, it's not that clear cut. And I do got to give, like, I need to give Dillard a chance, too.
Yeah, you do.
Like, I got to give him a shot to show me that he can play. Because if he can't play, obviously, I've already counted that as a disaster. Right? Like, it's already in the disaster column. So if for some reason I can salvage that, that's a big deal. So I want to give him a shot.
Okay.
If it stinks, then, whatever. But, I don't think it's a problem. I don't think it's a problem. He's running with the ones.
All right. You know how we started the show? You're clean slate. I'm still side-eyed front office.
Yeah. Listen,
everything else, clean slate.
That's fine. You think the way you feel. That's why you just asked me. I give you my opinion. You don't need to take it. It's not gospel. And I already tell you, I don't know. I just know what my eyes tell me. I like Mailata. I do. And I love the kid. The kid's outrageous.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So he's lovable. I don't really like Dillard. I think he's soft, quite frankly.
You've heard a thing or two.
Right? So that doesn't make me ingratiate myself to him. I love a tough Tongan. Right? Like, so, like that's cool. But if I'm fair about it, I thought he was good, not great, and I got to make sure I can salvage something out of Dillard. Warren, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Warren.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
What's
up,
buddy?
Question for you. I sparked a phone call today. Heard your comment about Lehigh University and the Eagles training camp. And for a longtime Birds fan here living in the Lehigh Valley, being a little kid, I remember going up to Lehigh University, standing out overnight and getting a tent and tickets for autographs and whatnot. And then, you know, Chip Kelly came into town, and it looks like they ended that. So my question to you guys was, do you have any insight? Are we going to do any training camps, you know, post-COVID era, you know, back up here at Lehigh? Is that going to be a
I think it's done, buddy.
You think it's done?
Yeah. I mean, it was done when Chip took over.
Right.
Yeah, and so the problem is, see, all the coaches now, the coaches don't really want to do it. The players don't want to do it because it's more of a hassle. And the coaches go, well, you spent all this money on a facility and I have all the resources down here. I'm going to ship everything up there. Now, there's some old school guys like Andy was a big believer in it because of the bonding situation, which I always liked. I always thought.
Right. Get away from the city. Relax. Put your mind on football.
Right. Like, I always thought. Think about a job. Like if you went on, or you went to work, right? If there's a major project that you had to work on, I don't know what line of work you're in, but whatever, you get my point. If you all of a sudden go away somewhere to focus on the task, where there's no distractions, it's all about the project. I just think you're gonna bond with the people you work with, and B, you're gonna get a lot done.
I would agree. Yeah, definitely. But it was just disappointing to be up here in the valley and support the
club. I know. I loved it up there, man. I thought it was cool. I loved the whole thing. I loved the vibe up there. It was cool.
Absolutely.
Thanks, brother. Good stuff. Do you agree with that, Jonas, or no? Curious your thoughts.
I guess I kind of agree with it. I do. I mean, it's going to be interesting. It really is.
No, but the idea of training camp, moving training camp.
Yeah, no, it's...
Like, if we had a big project that was due.
Right.
I don't know. We're working on something. It's why they do off-site, you know, situations.
Right.
You know, we go to the Poconos, right? Hunker down for, you know, a week to do the project. And it's me, you... And, you know, Mike and Connor, right? Well, we're going to get it done.
Yeah, I mean...
And then you're going to leave there in a week going, you know what? You know, I like Connor. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I like Mike. Well, it's like, remember the Titans.
And Connor's going to go to me and go, you know what? Cuz, all right.
Remember the Titans.
That's exactly right.
But I don't know. I mean... It would be interesting nowadays.
No, I just think
still teams do it. Andy still does it, right?
I think it works. I do. I think it works.
I'm sure it does.
I don't know with COVID if he's doing it with COVID. But.
Well, right. But I don't know. I don't see Sirianni.
No, I'm just saying the theory of banding together away for a few weeks. I'm not saying you got to have 2 months. Like, the training camps used to be ridiculous, right? They're in a dorm for 2 months.
Right.
And, it was like, you think about it, it's 2 days, it's boiling hot, you're away for 2 months. There wasn't even air conditioning in those dorms. I once stayed in a dorm, I was covering the Bears camp, all right, in Platteville, Wisconsin. It's a farming, Platteville College or University, Agricultural College, right? Dude, it's on the border of Iowa. And if I told you I stayed there for, I don't know, 3 months, maybe almost a month, in a dorm room with just a fan.
Yeah, it's not comfortable.
No air condition.
That sucks.
You know who was there too? You remember, you know, Greeny?
Yeah.
Mike Greenberg? He was working in Chicago radio.
Oh, cool.
We used to have basketball games in the afternoon. But it was like hot. You're stuck there. But there was you bonded with people.
Yeah, it's definitely a way to connect. I don't know. I don't see what the problem would be either way. I don't have a problem with what they're doing now. I really don't. I know there was definitely a draw to Lehigh. I get it.
I mean, listen, for me, I miss it.
Right.
A little more romantic. You're next to the players. And I just like the whole idea of camp. Watching camp, the fans around. It was getaway. You know, Mike and I did the Camp Cuz trip.
That's awesome.
That was a lot of fun, man. Play cards all night.
And then watch practice the next day.
So Pete from Chickies and Pete's brought up like 20 bushels of crabs. We sat there on a picnic tables, drinking beer, eating crabs at night.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was
great
time.
Football the next day.
Yeah, it was. We did it for like 3 days. It was awesome. All right. Cuz Radio Tunis, 97.5 for that.
And this is Andrew Sal Tunis. Guys, you think about getting engaged? Well, you got to save yourself time, money, and most importantly to me, out of all of it, stress. Stop in a Family Company Jewelers in Marlton, New Jersey. They will walk you through every step of the process, and I guarantee you that you will walk out with a ring that she's going to be showing off to her friends and family for a very long time. And I'm saying this based off of experience. I was so stressed out when it came to finding the perfect ring, but you know where I went? I went to Family Company Jewelers. My man Angelo, he calmed me down. He sat me down and said, hey, what are you so worried about? You know what she's kind of into. What do you want? What does she want? I showed him a photo of what she was looking for. And in a matter of minutes, he had five different options in front of me. And once we narrowed it down to the ring that she was going to say yes to, we even got the wedding band along with it. So I was set for wedding day before she even said yes. That's how great they are at Family Company Jewelers. That's how great my man Angelo is. Shopping local, it's more important than ever nowadays. So visit their showroom on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey for the best in diamond engagement rings in the area. And if you can't make it there in person, you're still in luck. You can head over to FamilyJewelers.com and see their amazing selection. They've been South Jersey diamond destination for over 80 years and have more than 1,000 five-star reviews from all their satisfied customers. And I'm one of them. Save time, save money, and most importantly to me, save yourself a ton of stress. Get to the right ring, a ring from Family Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You like the Phillies tonight?
Yeah, Wheeler on the bump, man.
This is a can't-lose game.
Yeah, you absolutely cannot lose.
Corbin stinks. Right? Here's Mikey Miss. Corbin stinks.
Got the ace on the mound.
You
got
to win. Wheeler, come on.
You need to bounce back.
Must win. By the way, sad news. Did you ever see the movie 29th Street?
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's you. Where's Mike? Mike! Michael! Calling Mike Missanelli. Please report to the studio. So, there's a great movie called 29th Street. Danny Aiello's in it. And it's a shame. His son, Rick Aiello, just died yesterday. And he was great. I actually, Tunis, so years ago, when I was, I've been at this Hollywood thing forever, right? I write a treatment. I find out about this guy in Vegas who was one of these like card trick kind of, he would thieve the casinos. He used to build all these contraptions, and he was a con man. And he was out in Vegas. And so I go out, and he's got a house, Tunis, and off to the house is like a pool house type of thing, right?
Okay.
And inside this pool house are all these games, roulette tables, card tables, right? And he's got all these incredible contraptions, like the weighted ball for the roulette. Like this dude, he would tell me about how they would scam these casinos.
Wait, so would he sneak the weighted ball onto?
Dude, he used to do all kinds of things. He had all kinds of crazy scams and ways to contract each other. Like, oh my God, this like fake buzzer, like all kind, like insane. So anyway, I get tipped off. The guy wants to do a movie, right? The whole thing. So I write this, me and my man Vinny, we go out there, we check it out. We write this whole treatment. We basically wrote the script, but in narrative form. And it was, you know, like 150 pages. It was a real pretty cool document. And I think we wrote it at Mikey Miss's house.
Oh, really?
Down the shore. And Danny Aiello's son was producing the movie. He loved it. And then somehow I got Hollywoodized, and I was out.
Oh, so it became a movie.
No, it never.
Okay.
Somehow it just never. But the guy died yesterday. Rick Aiello. And he was in the movie 29th Street as Jimmy V. I got to send you the cut. It's a good clip, Jimmy V. You don't know 29th Street?
I do not.
It's one of the great, like, underrated movies.
21 Jump Street. Nah. That's a comedy, though.
Yeah, no.
Has Jonah Hill in it.
Yeah. It used to be a bad TV show with Johnny Depp.
And then it was 22nd Jump Street was the sequel.
Oh, really?
It was a funny movie.
Come on, dude.
Channing Tatum.
Ew.
Dude, it was a great movie.
It was not a great movie.
It was funny. It was not a great comedy.
It's fine. Not a great movie.
Sorry. It was a great comedy.
Great movie. Come on.
Great
dude.
Comedy. I'm sorry I offended you. Great comedy, 21 Jump Street.
Where's Mike at? He didn't come around. It's terrible. He leaves me with you. I can't talk anything with movies with you.
No.
TV, nothing.
TV, kind of. I'm getting there.
The Game of Thrones is good.
Yeah, I'm almost done.
Yeah.
Just watched the battle with the White Walkers.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's great.
Yeah.
Arya, good for her.
Alan's in Villanova. Alan, what do you say, buddy?
Hey, I'm just reading up on 29th Street. I never saw it, but it does look good. It's a very good cast.
Yeah, it's a good little movie.
And that's sad. And not only the Rick Aiello, but pancreatic cancer, and then his son Dan Aiello III died at age 53 of the same thing. I was just reading up while I was on hold.
Yeah, it's a shame.
But I loved Dan Aiello, the senior. He was wonderful. In fact, you ever check out the Madonna video of a Papa Don't Preach? It's really cool music video. He plays her father in the video.
Yes, I did know that. Yes, you're right. That's well, very
anyway,
good.
Are you going to do Home Run tomorrow? Because you said yesterday you were going to do it.
Yeah, I should have did it today, but we had camp today, so I'll do Home Run tomorrow.
I know, yeah, camp. I'm going to comment on your point is why isn't there more excitement? I think the true football lovers like yourself, I like football, but I don't love and live and die football like you do. You know me, I live and die basketball. But
I kind of live and die all four as a loser.
I know you do. But I mean, I love all the teams. Don't you know that? We've had the discussion.
Yeah.
I think that, like in years past, when training camp opens, when football opens, the people's mindset is, how far are we going in the playoffs this year? Can we make the Super Bowl? And I think these people, it's hard to get super excited when you're thinking, you know what? Yeah, I just want to see them play well. I'm excited to just see the game of football. And if we win 7 games or 8 games, I'll be happy. I can't get super psyched for that. I mean,
I guess maybe spoiled. I want our teams to be in the postseason. I don't want to go into a season thinking, I'll be happy if we just play well and win some games.
So this is interesting. So, yeah, like I my expectations are a lot less than 8 wins. Like I think they're more like a 5-win team, 6-win team,
yeah,
max. But yet I'm excited to go through the process. Like I feel like it's you're leaving on the journey, and so you're embarking on a climb, and so you know this is the beginning of it. So I have no expectations. And I'm actually liberated by that.
Yeah. You really believe that? Do you really believe that
when
this team loses their first 3 games or something, you're going to feel liberated, you're just going to feel disgusted? I mean, I don't know.
I'm not going to feel disgusted. You talk about me. Like, listen, you do you. Like, I tell everybody, you do you. No. I'm not trying to tell you how to feel. I'm going to give you my own perspective, which is, I don't have any expectations. I think here's what I think they are. I think they're going to be bad. I expect them to lose their first 3 games. So that's not going to move me. What I'm going to look at is more if they lose the first 3 games, but Jalen Hurts gives me a couple flashes, I'm going to feel good about them. I'm going to be watching for flashes of the young guys. I'm going to look for what do I see? That's where I'm at.
But, you know, with Sirianni, when you're right, when they said, that stupid question, how many wins will you be satisfied with, is Ashley's, his answer should have been 20, not 17, because that would have meant a first-round bye and then going all the way and winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's a Judas response right there.
I just thought I would have thrown that in. But you know what? Unfortunately, you know what it might take to get this fan base excited? I know your poll says that nobody wants them, and I don't want them. I don't want any part of Deshaun Watson. But I think if they actually signed them, things may turn around because
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm just wondering. Like, I remember training camps past, right? And, man, I guess you got to go way back now. You got to go way back to, like, 2000 when probably my first year on the air where training camp, the expectations weren't really there, yet people were excited. Maybe everybody is spoiled. I mean, Alan, that's pretty profound. You know, do you think people are just spoiled to the fact that they've had a lot of success over the last 20 years, and the expectation is either you're a contender or I'm not interested?
I don't think so. I think Alan's been the first caller of the day that hasn't shown somewhat of excitement for the Eagles. So I can't say that when Alan's literally been the first one at 1:40 in the afternoon. We've had 3 hours and 40 minutes of people excited for training camp.
Right and wrong. Let's face it. There hasn't been a lot of Uber buzz.
Right, but I don't think that's because it's, I'm in or I'm out based off of my expectations. I think everybody's in. I think people are excited. You know, just yesterday, the players were doing the media stuff with, they were taking the photos and they were taking the videos that they're going to put up on the big board at Lincoln Financial Field. People were going nuts. Look how great Jalen Hurts looks. That's all people were talking about on social media yesterday.
Yeah, but here's my fear is that the people who are most excited are those with unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, but I used Chuck as the example today when I heard him on with Bobby and Jamie today.
I thought that was a great call by Chuck.
He talked about, I can't wait for the first slant route from Hurts to Devontae Smith. And it's gonna be blah, 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 blah. And then Bob asked him how many wins he thinks they have this year, and he said 6.
Yeah.
I said, there you go.
Yeah, no, I thought that was great. I think he's in minority. I guess.
Well, and I guess that's something we dive deeper into tomorrow, because I'm like you. I'm excited for this season. I'm excited of the prospects of this season to see if Jalen Hurts a quarterback that can be an everyday starter, every week starter in the NFL. Is Nick Sirianni a bright head coach, a leader of men, all that kind of stuff? They brought in a lot of players on 1-year deals that we shouldn't be upset about. You know what I mean? And to what everybody keeps on saying, all the reporters keep on saying it, that they're going to be a little more competitive than a lot of people think, and it's because of the trenches. It comes back to health, right? Like, let's face it. If the offensive line is healthy, and that is a major if, but if they are healthy, they can be a pretty damn good offensive line, especially that right side with Kelce, Brooks, and Johnson. The question is, can they stay healthy? The same thing with the defensive front. Can Fletcher Cox, he doesn't miss games, but he's always kind of banged up. You know what I mean? He's always on the injured list. They can be competitive, and we should be excited for that. I am. I don't think they're going to win 10 games. You know me. I think that 6.5 win total in Vegas is perfect. I see them winning six or seven games.
Yeah. I hear you. Do you have that thing I sent you? Because I thought this was fascinating. Now, I don't know how's it going to play out on the air, because it's a visual, but I don't know.
Not that well.
Okay. So then I'll just tell you about it real quick.
I can play it in the background if you want it.
All right.
Plus, there's no like talking or anything.
Okay. There's no, I thought there might be calls.
No.
Okay. So this is amazing. This is, let me preface it before you play it. The intro to the NFL Today, 1977. A guy tweets it out. He's terrific, this guy. I follow him. He's Gridiron Man or whatever it's called. He tweets this out and he goes, the highlights shown in this promo that promotes football in 1977, all the plays are penalties today. Wasn't that fascinating, Andrew?
Yeah, it was, and it's changed. It's definitely, I mean, when we were talking about the softness or not softness of the NFL, I do get bothered by a pinky touching the helmet of a quarterback being a 15-yard penalty, because that's what it is nowadays. Literally, a pinky grazing the helmet of a quarterback is a 15-yard personal foul, which drives me crazy.
Insane.
You want me to play it?
Play it.
Brown 45. Hot. The NFL Today.
What is that music? As bad as it is, somehow you put football in front of it, it works.
Oh yeah, because it reminds you of NFL films. And old football highlights and all that kind of stuff.
But it's fascinating that every one of these highlights, there's one with the Eagles, and a guy gets drilled, like he gets clotheslined, basically. And all the plays they show are these big hits, and they're all plagues. Like, you could never get away with anything like that today.
No, and here's the other thing. Back then, and I'll say up until about, I don't know what, 5 to 10 years ago, big hits were highlighted.
Yeah, they were.
Remember ESPN did the You Got Jacked Up segment?
Yes.
Like, that was, I remember waiting for that to play.
I loved it. It's terrible.
But then we learn, obviously, more about CT and all that kind of stuff, and they don't want to highlight.
It's amazing, right? Like, you know, you got knocked.
You got jacked up.
Yeah. But
that was the segment.
But somebody would say, you got put to sleep. Somebody would talk about getting put to sleep.
Right, and that's not, you know, it's not celebrated anymore. And now the slightest hard hit, like, there are referees, and this is one of the things that bothers me. I'm okay with throwing the flag for a defenseless receiver. Like, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But there are referees that, oh, wow, that was a hard hit. I should throw the flag.
Right.
Because it's so quick. That they just expect, it must have been defenseless receiver because the guy got hit hard going over the middle of the field. And that's when it kind of bothers me. Like, at that point, then don't allow slant routes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because
I know.
As long as a guy turns up fields.
So I was talking to my doctor, Dr. Mike. I love Dr. Mike. You can see him on Fox. Dr. Mike Sirigliano. He's Mikey's doctor, too. So Dr. Mike, we were talking about football. Because we were talking about Anthony's playing football. We were discussing it. And he goes, you know, let me tell you, in the future, not too long from now, it'll be all robots playing football.
I don't believe that.
He said it'll be all artificial intelligence, robots that look like football players. And we'll draft them and they'll just be, that'll be the NFL.
That's Madden.
Right, but it'll be like, you know, actual robots. That's what Dr. Mike said.
I don't think so.
All right, sure.
I respect Dr. Mike.
Let me get to Brad. Brad, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bradley. Hello, Brad.
Hey.
What's happening, buddy?
Anthony. How you doing, man?
Good, pal.
Hey, I miss the days of Lehigh training camp.
I know, man. Me too.
You know, not just because I'm up here in Bethlehem and it was cool and, you know, I got to meet a lot of players up here.
You felt next to them. You felt close to them, yeah.
Yeah, hanging out down at Starters Pub and...
Starters, yes! I remember that, sure. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was it, man. But it was good, you know, I thought it was good for them to get away. You know...
I did too. Now I'm up against it, Brad, and I'm glad you called because I feel the same way you do, buddy. I really do. I miss it. I miss training camp, making the trek. Mikey Miss and I used to make the trek all the time. He's coming up next with Connor, so make sure you keep it right here. Everybody, have a great day. A lot of fun as always. It was the first day at camp. Hopefully we all get excited for it. At least, you know, it is what it is. Football's back, baby. Have a great day. We love you. We'll see you in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.